Thank you for choosing to listen to this message from our pastor, Brother Rob Coons. Let us enter now with the saints of God into a service already in progress.
I thank you, Lord God, in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we come to the throne. I thank you for access. I thank you, Lord, that you've given us favor and blessings, wealth, strength, provisions, riches, Lord God. But Father, as we access, Lord God, the throne of God, Father, for others, Lord God, looking, Lord, that we won't be selfish, Lord, just looking for what's good for us and how we can make our little time, this little short moment on this globe, something comfortable and something desirable, Lord God. Father, we're not here looking for the vacations. We're not here looking for the rest and relaxation. We're not looking for those things, Lord God. We're here seeking them that are lost, Lord God. Father, let us utilize our vessels, our lives, our substance, our talents, Lord God, our finances, Lord God, the things that you've given as an increase to us. Let us utilize them for the glory of God, the praise of God, and the favor of God. Father, help us this morning as we make an attempt, Lord God, to bring people into a way of analyzation, Lord God, to see, to discern, Father, that we can see the day, the hour, the moment of time that we're in, Lord God, that we would not let any of the things that we hear slip away from us, Father. Help us in Jesus' name. Amen. Y'all can be seated this morning. Had a good day yesterday, brethren. Come over working on the home over there, working on some of the things, getting the yards up, and a lot of the young folks out working, helping, working in yards and weed eating and mowing and taking care of things. It's always encouraging to see people taking care of the things of God and seeking after the things of the Lord. I tell you, if you want nice things for your homes and you want nice things for your families and for your houses, seek ye first the kingdom. Some of you struggle, you know, you struggle with this and that, and it seems like you're always in a travail to make this meet and that meet. And it's just a simple, simple, simple little formulation that a man could do. You say, preacher, it's always about the Lord. And I say, amen. As long as I got breath in my lungs, it's always going to be about the Lord. It's always going to be about him first and seeking him first and his ways first and his things first. Amen. When you find zeal and exuberance in men when it only comes to things of the flesh, then you know we got a problem. You know, we need to see that same exuberance, we might say, same charisma for the things of God, to be partakers, to do something as unto the Lord. Amen. Again, observation and watching mankind over the years, it seems like the ones that would need it the most are the farthest away from it. It's like they don't have any rest in their spirit, no peace in their spirit. And the tormenting spirits, you know, he's a tormentor. You know, we talk about being turned over to the tormentors. You know, when I bring everything into a present-day truth, a lot of the religious people think, you know, man, someday a man's going to be cast into eternal damnation. Boy, and he's going to be under torment. Let me tell you something, brethren. I see men in hell today. They're just in so much torment in their mind. They got no rest. They got no peace. And just in a continual torment. Brother Pike used to say so often time, he goes, well, we got to make allowances for the little babies, you know. And sometimes men are immature of where they should be with God, and they allow these kind of things to harass them. And, you know, they can go through some struggles and things, and, you know, they go through some complications and struggles, you know, with the deceiver trying to wear them out or the tormentor trying to bring allegations to their mind. He's the accuser of the brethren. And, you know, we should be walking in such a place with God over the years that we could see the thing really promptly, these patterns or these things of what men are given to. You know, some are more shrewd than others, you know, about strife and discord and to destroy and to kill. You know, we've got to be so, so careful what we give heed to, what we give ear to. I appreciate Brother John's song this morning, and Brother John's doing very well with us, brother, and he's been, and I commend him, and you guys hear open rebukes. He sat up here the other day, and I talked about some of his failures. You know, it's thankful that a man could come to enough strength in God that he's not ashamed, that he could stand before the people and say, you know what, I failed, but God, by his grace. When you hear me say something like that, I'm not showing you to expose the failures. I'm exposing the grace of God, the mercies of God, the kindness of God, the restoration of God, the reconciliation of God, and the power of God. But you see, you sit there because you're guilty sometimes, and you think, oh, I just don't agree with that, man, the preacher, man, doing this and doing that. I'm testifying the Lord. Amen. That God has blessed him so much and turned his life around and restoring him, and that the man could sit there and say, you know what? It's like if I look at a man that was an alcoholic, I say, you know what? This man used to be an alcoholic, but praise be to Jesus, he's been set free. Amen. He's no longer bound by that. He got authority over that. He's got power over that. He's come out of that very thing. And again, when you think of somebody trying to pursue, to break into a home or break into a kingdom or a land or whatever, and he's going to look for a weak link. If you go into the beast realm, you've heard me say so oftentimes, you know, when you see a predator, you know, if it's a wolf, you know, if it's a cheetah, if it's a lion, it doesn't matter what it is, and they're looking over a herd. And when they scatter it, they're going to look for that weak one, the one that just can't run as fast as the others, or the one that got a little age on it, and it's fallen out. That's where it's going to hit. When we look at things and understand, the same thing works in the beast realm. I watch people come in, and if they've got a tormented spirit, or if they've got a tail-bearing spirit, or if they've got this strife in them, you'll see where they go. They never go to an established elder. They might try to get cut down real quick, but they're going to find that one. And if you happen to be one, it seems like these people are always coming to you and puking on you. You need to look in the mirror and say, God, have mercy on me and help me. I need some help here. And they know where to seek and where to go and how to find. And it's just a thrill. We could look at the beast realm of what empowers it. You understand? There's something that empowers it and strengthens it. And when we could learn to see what's strengthening it, then we could learn to curb that part or stop that part. Like the old Indian chief that had the vision, he said he saw these two powers, you know, and they were represented to him by a white wolf and a black wolf. And he said sometimes the black wolf would win, sometimes the white wolf would win. And he said he started observing, he found out which one he was feeding. And you know, if we're feeding the things of the carnal mind, the carnality, the things that would savor of the flesh and of our life and our existence and our me, see, here we go again. It's the same thing as people think that, well, if it's not about the church, Brother Rob, if it's not doing this for church, you're all against it. When you're trying to help people, brethren, is like I say, I believe I was talking to Tab or something the last day or two, and I said, you know, the Bible said it's more blessed to give. There's not a person in this church can't quote that, but there's very few that really have the revelation. And we do have men here that really have some real depths of revelation on that subject. But see, one person could go, just like I said, I could come in here and teach on tithing this morning about the need to tithe. Have one person sitting there saying, ah, that greedy, fat preacher, man, it's all they want, money. Everything's around the dollar. Everything's around the money. Give us more money. Give us more money for you to live in your big house over there with your big, fat belly and lay on your belly and this and that. And I say, wow, is it really that rough? Sure. I mean, people wear their minds out with that. Amen. And you know what? They bring the curses of God upon their head. They bring the wrath of God upon their head. And they bring the judgments on their homes and on their children and on their children's children. You need to read the Bible how God dealt with those things. He didn't just say, go kill that man. He said, take his wife too. If their children had already been laying with men, take them too. You know, get rid of them all. Take them all. And you know what? That's what I love. Amen. Clean the thing out, man. You know, we see these countries and they do ethnic cleansing. You know, they call it and they go over and they try to take out this group or this tribe or this and that. No, I'm not in agreement with that stuff, but it still shows something. You want to talk about ethnic cleansing. You wait until our Lord and our God comes and sets rule back up in this earth. You're going to see some ethnic cleansing. You ain't seen no wars like you've seen the wars. I mean, just by his appearing, there's going to be the chenoo falling off of men. The flesh and the eyes are going to come out of the sockets before they have a chance to even hit the ground. Amen. You say, that's nuclear powers. Yeah, it's called the fusion of the atoms. Amen. And it's not going to be, it's going to be a power that no nuclear scientist has ever even stepped into and even fathomed. And when we think of the great powers of God. But again, as I say, that it's all the way that you listen to it. You know, and it's like I told a man that was here, like going back to the subject of giving or tithing. I said, buddy, look, I said, I'm doing great. I'm doing fine here. The brethren are doing well. They're blessed. We don't need your money at all. Your money is not going to change anything of what we do. We operate by God, and God makes a way. Amen. And if God has to raise up somebody from somewhere else to send finances in here for us to do what we're doing, praise be to God. He's capable of making the rain come down on the just. Amen. And the unjust. Amen. But he'll open up the floodgates of heaven. But I was trying to explain to this man that he was robbing himself. The old expression Brother Pike used to say, he said, keep yourself poor or give yourself rich. And they learned a principle. He said, save up for the rainy day. He said, you'll get it. Well, you know, Brother Rob, hey, I don't weld nothing with me. I know your mind very clearly. I got the same mind as a man. I know how man thinks. And I know what they got to do for their self-preservation and things. But you know, the Bible again, see, your principles are backwards. The Bible said, you know, try to save your soul and you'll lose it. You know, but you seek after another soul, the saving of another soul, and you'll find yours. Amen. So, you know, God's ways are different than man's ways. Man's ways are contrary to God's ways. I've been making mention of some things about the doctrine of Baal. I like to speak about things. There's no new thing under the sun. You know, and if I see the failure of the Israelite people, you know, if we say some 4,000 or 5,000 years ago or 4,000 years ago, whatever it is, and we see the failure of God's elect people, I got to know that the mind of these things is still here. The very thing. You know, when I look back over my years in the ministry, you know, before I come to revelational doctrine or Jesus' name doctrine, but I love the Lord. I know sometimes you know, some of the we might use the term oneness people, which I don't number myself with as that. I don't use that defining aspect. And, you know, I could say, yeah, I'm a Jesus name man. I like that. You know, some say Jesus only, and I like what Brother Pike said, only Jesus. But there's things that people want to be able to identify you with, like you put on a tag on a car, I'm a Lincoln, you know, or I'm a Cadillac, or I'm a Volvo, or a Rolls Royce, whatever. People like an identifier. And you could take a man and meet him, hey, how you doing, brother? And he's real congenial. You know, I'm such and such. What are you? And you tell him, and you see all of a sudden it just kind of, well, I just don't know if I can have anything to do with you. Man, you're not like me. I've seen it happen in the Pentecostal holiness realms probably more than any other work. You know, they'll size somebody up and look at them. Why don't they look at them? You know, that could be the next greatest evangelist this world has ever seen. That God's willing to just reach down. He said we've got to have a love for the heathen. You know, but we get so religious and righteous, man, that we just look down on everybody, look down on everybody. Dealing with the brethren that are incarcerated, I got to tell them that all the time. I said, look, somebody loved you enough to help pluck you out of the filth. Somebody, you know, suffered along with you in your ignorance and your foul mouth and your self-righteousness. Somebody suffered along with you. Amen. And man, I want to always keep that, you know, that I'm willing to suffer along. But again, back to this doctrine, if the Lord would allow me to maybe to speak on it some this morning. And I look back in the years of working within the Pentecostal realms, I may say, you know, and I've seen a lot of heights and depths and highs and lows and bumps and hurts and scrapes. I've seen a lot of things watching. You know, sometimes I learned things the hard way, you know, and still do. You know, some of you mock me about this situation with this preacher. You know, yeah, but if Brother Rob was spiritual, man, he would have never let this guy, didn't cost my brother in here a penny. I gave everybody their money back because they shut the mouth of the gainsayers. But I'm a soul winner, and I'll spend thousands of dollars to win souls. I would rather walk away and say, man, that guy took advantage of me, stole from me, and ripped me off, that I have the opportunity to win a soul because I've got my big mouth in the way before and say things to something or deal with it in the flesh, and then God wants me to win their soul. But I was so fleshly, I couldn't even open my mouth for God. But bless God, they done me wrong. You need to learn to let somebody do you wrong. You need to learn to let somebody rob you with a smile on your face and say, God, I'm going to do good to them to despitefully use me, and I'm going to love them, and I'm going to do them. And let me tell you what those things do. I know men that will spend multiplied hundreds of thousands of dollars for education. They go to school to be a doctor, and they'll spend hundreds of thousands of dollars to be schooled and educated to get a degree to go be a doctor. You understand that? And let me tell you something. You need to spend a little bit of money in those aspects that you could learn how to be a son of God. You know, as long as they don't mess with your little finances, as long as they don't mess around with your little income, don't mess around with your little livelihood, mess around, man, everything's okay. I could deal with that, man. You just need to get born again. I'm sorry. Let me tell you something. I'll spend everything I got for one soul. I'll let somebody rob me of every single item I've gotten. The Bible says, Brother Rob, that a man looks well to his going and his substance is precious in his sight. And I say, yea and amen, it's his. And if he tells me to sacrifice it for one, I'll sacrifice it. The problem is you got too tight of a grip on your things. Amen. And you say, well, you're talking to us like we're not givers. No, I'm talking to you to make you better and greater. I like the motto in the school again. Good isn't good enough when better's expected. Amen. You say, well, I'm doing pretty good. Ain't good enough. Well, I'm doing this, Brother Rob. See, I've seen that. Let's do more. Man, he came to me one year and said, Brother Rob, I gave $30,000 last year. And I said, let's do 60 next. And you say, you greedy, stinking preacher. You see, that's where they'll answer something like that. You're a greedy preacher. And I say, no, we could take that and help others and do more for more people. You know, if a man's got a testimony about doing 30 this year, let's do 60 next. I got a testimony. I gave a day to the Lord last week. I said, let's do 2 next week. Well, I got a testimony. I've done this. I said, let's change it. Are you content with your testimony? Come on now, brother. I'm talking about challenging people and pushing and pressing. You see, there's two lives that laying in the members of yourself. There's two things, two powers. You know, and if you keep yielding to the one, it'll kill you and destroy you. And you could be so polished and so religious on your way to hell. And boy, everybody could look at you as this great thing. We got a powerful and an awesome and a great brotherhood with a great testimony. But the enemy is there pursuing on your heels. Man, he's looking to destroy you, looking to kill you. Amen? Looking to take your life. That's what he came to do, was to kill, steal, and destroy. But you see, when we hear that kind of a scripture, brethren, we take it to the same way that the people do that look at everything to the flesh. You see, you know, for him to take your life, you know, you could be numbered as a martyr. But you realize that he could take your life right now while you still yet live? I'm not talking about being twice dead. I'm talking about, I've had people, you know, we're talking about crucifying the Lord God afresh. I've had people crucify me, which I happened to have been the salvation to the person that I was working with. I'm working with this person, but this one wanted more. He wanted to be exalted himself or wanted the prestige. So what would he do? He'd crucify me. See, that's the way it works in the business world. That's the way it works in politics. I'm going to run for Senate. Well, let me tell you, this is my principles of I'm running on. I believe in this kind of government, thus, thus, thus. But you don't ever hear that. How do they run for the Senate? They come over and their opponent, oh, he's a whoremonger. You know, he smoked dope in college. You know, he done this, he done that. He didn't pay his taxes. He didn't do this. He didn't. They crucify that man before they can get the position. See, that's politics. That's the way politics works. In corporation, you know, if you're in a position in a corporation, the people are going to be watching you, watching you, watching you. They won't take you down. Why? Because they get to take that rung. They're looking for the top. And the way they're going to do it is by taking you down. Well, I can't go up as long as Brother Tab's there on that rung above me. He's got seniority over me. He's been with the company longer than me, this and that. And boy, they'll be watching, man, if I could just take that man down. Corporate greed, corporate lust. So that's the same thing. It happens in a brotherhood. It happens in the kingdom of God. And it goes, same way, but we're not supposed to operate that way. Let me tell you how to get to the very top of the ladder the quickest. Start out at the bottom and say, here, brother, let me help boost you up. Let me help you boost up. Let me help you boost up. Let me help you boost up. Come on, let me take this one. Oh, brother, you could be way up there if you, oh, no, I'm helping this one down here. And someday the Lord's just going to pick you up. And he's going to bring you all the way to the top. Amen. Because he saw you wasn't looking for your own good. He wasn't looking for your own recognition. You was looking to help others. And God recognizes that. And when he picks you up, there ain't nothing can put you down. But when you climb yourself up, then you find you're going to get knocked down. Shared the vision of Brother Pike had. One of the leading brethren in the church. Esteemed as a great brother, a great elder. Been with Brother Pike for many years. Faithful, loyal man. But Brother Pike said he was way, way up in the clouds. And all of a sudden there's an extension ladder that shows up way, way, way up there. And here's this brother right up at the top rung getting ready to step off where Brother Pike was. And Brother Pike took the ladder and he kicked it down with his leading man on it and kicked him all the way back to the earth. He went tumbling back to the earth. Amen. And you say, wow, what kind of pastor would do that? Let's give him a hand. A man full of the Holy Ghost. Amen. The reason he saw that is because it's like the Bible said, you climb up another way. Amen. You'll be bound hand and foot and cast out. That's what the Bible says. And that man climbed up another way through his intellectual, Bible retentions, and all those things. And the things he done was for self-prestige, for he could be recognized. Amen. I'm a man of observation, bringing the Word of God alive. That's the revelation of Jesus Christ. We're bringing the Word alive today. And watch the brother, and if he was in men's meeting, man, he'd speak up. Well, we gave $15,000 this week to the work of the Lord doing these church jobs. It wasn't an uncommon testimony, those things. I believe in giving honor to who honor's due. But that man, that was the thrust of what he did. For he could get before the brethren and speak like that and say this. He should have said, where he would normally say, I, when he should have said, we. Because it was the brethren doing it. If Brother Randy Gilbert's given a job, or Brother Ed Luffman, or whoever's given it, again, man, I gave, you know, $6,000 to the work of the Lord. And I say, well, praise God for that. But I say, who helped you? And there's going to be the same select handful, as a rule, that were there that helped and do those things. Why the others just robbed themselves, seeking after their own, never coming to the revelation. Had one the other day said, well, I can't do those things, you know, I'm physically not capable of doing those things. I'm thinking, well, you got enough physical strength to do everything you want to do, but never forgot. See, that's a man seeking his own, brother, not God's things. You say, why do you talk like this? Because I want to see people get better. If I would submit to my physical elements of my body, brethren, I wouldn't do a thing. Amen. I'd probably be driving around with a little chin thing moving a wheelchair if I've submitted to what the doctors say. You understand? But you say, nah, I got strength in the name of the Lord. And you take what little strength you got and you start applying it, and then he gives you more strength. He won't give you strength. See, people sit around and waiting for strength, and it never comes. The only time strength comes is when you exhaust your strength. You understand that? You've got to exhaust your strength. Some people want a word of knowledge. They want a word of wisdom from God. You first got to exhaust your knowledge. And when your knowledge is exhausted, you see, you know, as a man, I'm not capable of this. And then all of a sudden, the knowledge of God comes. You understand that? But people wait for these gifts to come before they could go and apply them. It doesn't work that way. You'll never see it that way. The ones that were carrying this Ark of the Covenant, they sat there on the banks. They'd still be sitting there. You understand that? Waiting for when it was at flood tide, the Jordan there, they would still be sitting there waiting to go across. But they were commanded, they picked up this ark and they took off walking for this river, and when their ankles got to it, it parted. You know, what if Moses sat back there in Egypt and waited until he got a report sending out scouts, hey, they got the sea parted and it's all clear, it's dry ground. But he had to see the dust cloud being made of the pursuer, the Egyptian armies pursuing after him. He sees the dust cloud, could feel the ground shaking of like the thunders of the multitude of chariots and horses proceeding down on him. Amen. Then the salvation of the Lord came. You understand that? But sometimes we're waiting on things to materialize before we move in the mind of God and the ways of God. I remember a minister called me up and he said, Brother Rob, if you could come up with $10,000, it'll make you $100,000. This was from a minister. And Brother Pike said, if it sounds too good to be true, it's usually correct. He says, if you can just give me $10,000, brother, I guarantee you it'll make you $100,000. Man, we got to do this thing right now, thus, and thus. You know, hey, somebody tell me I could take $10,000, turn it $100,000. They might have my attention. I was listening. Man, I'm going to tell you this, Brother Rob. Then he started talking. He goes, I'll tell you what. He said, I've put in this much money. He had about $30,000, $40,000 invested in this thing. He said he was going to be a millionaire by a certain time, thus, and thus. And he said, I'm going to tell you something, brother. As soon as I get this first million, he said, then I'm going to go start visiting churches. And I'm going to start evangelizing. And right there when he said that, man, I mean the red flags went up. The bottoms fell out of everything. And the Lord, man, that's you know, I just got to wait on the voice of God. And the Lord said, don't touch it. Stay clear of it. And this guy thought I was a total idiot. Yeah, with his really brilliant business mind. Boy, you're crazy. You need to invest in this. But the Lord told me no. Why? Because when the man said, I'm going to do something for God when it comes through, you know where the glory is going to go when he's doing something for God? To himself. He was climbing up another way. The glory man, look at this man. I made millions of dollars, man. Now I can go visit churches. You get up there and say, I'm a millionaire. And I listen to God and I this and that. And it's all about him, the Antichrist. And now the man's been turned over to a reprobate mind. And he's so ignorant that he couldn't see it. He hates me so much. And all I've done is ever been a friend to him. And I let him steal from me and rob me while I sat right under Brother George Pike. Literally robbed me on three different occasions, stole from me. And he sat under this great man of God like he was one of the men. And he would tell you, he said, if there was any man, this is his own testimony. He said, if there was any man close to Brother George, it was me. He said, I was his best friend. And yet he robbed me and stole from me. Why he sat under this man of God? And you want to talk about climbing up another way? You say, Brother Rob, I listened to you. It sounds like Bethlehem was a terrible place. It was one of the most beautiful, awesome places in all of the world, brethren. You know, and I could talk about walking with Jesus and walking with the 11 disciples. Oh, we didn't pay no attention to the devil. I just want to say 11. But he carried the money bags. Man, he was put up right in position. You see, right there in position. Man, was the Lord deceived and that guy deceived him and he thought he was it? You even think like that? It's impossible to deceive God's elect. So how about the Lord himself? He knew exactly what was going on. Sometimes people make analyzations and look at the preacher like he don't know what's going on. Boy, if he only knew, but I'm showing mercy. It's like Brother George said when he was turning the work over to another minister, and he said, he got the airplane into a spin. We're going to die, Brother George. We're going to crash. We're going to perish. I had men come to me, man, Bethlehem's over, brethren. It's gone, man. God show, man, it's over. It's gone. It's this and that. And frantic. And I just walked out of Brother Pike's presence, man, had the most beautiful peace, man. And I was thinking, man, this is heaven. And I felt so good. And here's a man just as world's distraught, he's shaken. I hope that sets into one this morning. Can be so in a turmoil inside and so distraught and everything when you could be just be another one right there in the same pew sitting next to him, just in perfect peace. Amen. Again, you could sit back and relax and say, man, I've got perfect peace. Amen. You know, but this is something that isn't fake. Let me see if the Lord allow me to speak on this a little bit this morning. There's some key components. Again, I don't know who the author was of where I pulled this little writing up. You know, I was looking into some things and I ran across this little article and the thing that I liked is the man brought it into a present day truth, comparing the failures of the children of God, these Hebrew children, and comparing it to the things of the church today. That's what I like. That's what I do with everything I teach and everything I do. I take it, if I'm going to read in the Old Testament, I'm going to bring it up to a present day truth. New Testament and do the same thing. Brethren, there's no new thing under the sun. You know, we want to talk about new this and that. We need to understand what's already taken place. If we can understand what took place with Bell, then we can start understanding how that same doctrine is affecting the organized religion of this day and hour with the same mind and the same failures. One thing that comes to mind in this, and we'll probably read into it, is that when Balak wanted Bell to prophesy for him, or to curse, I should say, the Hebrew children. Wanted to curse them. And man, he would go, and he couldn't do it. He said, I can only speak what God puts in my mouth. And all you heard him was speaking was how great and strong God is. The God of Jacob, how powerful and strong and mighty that he is. The God of Elijah, how great and powerful and good he is, and how he raises up his people and watches after his people. Amen. I made mention of this little writing, and it says that there's three things here. It was the ways of Bel, the doctrine of Bel, the way of Bel, the heir of Bel, and the doctrine of Bel. Breaking it down. I think, brethren, of the failure of the church today When I came and made a move across the United States to come sit under Brother Pike, I'd come to a place, and I was an heir, but I despised prophecy. I despised it. And I could still say to this day when the Bible said, despise not prophecy, and it has a whole different meaning, that scripture, than what I had a meaning of it, for a reason. The thing is I went from church to church to church, from church to church, traveling, preaching and things, and they always wanted to give you a word, a prophetic utterance, a prophetic word, continually give it to you. Man, Brother Melvin, I got a word from God for you. God heard so many of them. And God had done revealed things to me and showed me things, and I'd get a word that was contrary to what he said. How many have seen that in the scriptures? Where one prophet would go another, and another one cost a prophet his life in more than one occasion. Amen. We better go with what we hear from heaven. I told you I was sitting in a church service one time, sitting about where John's at. The guy's up behind the pulpit, we'll call it there, instead of sacred desk, and he pointed at me and he said, Brother Coons, he said, you got well vomit all over you. In other words, I was in resistance and rebellion as Jonah was. He said, you got well puke all over you. And then he pointed to a preacher over on this side. He said, you're supposed to be a youth pastor in Brother Reggie's church. I'm thinking, well, that's something. God wants me to be a youth pastor in this guy's church, but God showed me that preacher was in adultery and in immorality, and it come to pass. And he was, just like I told you all about Jonathan McKinney. And which problem that caused me? It caused all kinds of people, even people right here in this church had a problem with me. Just jealous, man. Brother Rob don't have that kind of an anointing. Man, Brother Rob can't play the piano and sing and woo the women like he can. So Brother Rob's just jealous over him. Had people thinking like that right here, man. I'm telling you, I'm sorry to say that. They wore in their mind like that, you know. But the thing is, brethren, nevertheless, it come to pass, didn't it? And I told the brethren a year before it happened. I said, man, if things don't change, I said, that man's going to get in trouble. Some things don't need to be prophesied. It's just through simple observation that you could see it. When a man shows up at another person's funeral with two other men's wives with him, you see me drive up with Sister April and Sister Ashley in a car someday, you know this preacher's backslid on God. I love these sisters. I wouldn't ever do anything to harm them or their husbands. But I'll tell you one thing, you won't see me driving around with them. And this man called himself a pastor and shows up at a funeral with two other men's wives. That right there is a violation if there was nothing happening anyway. But what happened? It was one of them women got violated, didn't they? You see? Because they mocked Brother George Pike. They mocked Brother Rob. He sat in one of my services when I'm preaching and sat there and mocked me the whole time. And what I should have done is walked down the aisle and went back there and grabbed the little punk up and dragged him up in front of the people. And I said, this man is nothing but a filthy pervert, is what I should have done. But I spared people. Everybody thinks I'm so harsh and so hard and just too strong. That's the way people think. That's the way they're among you here. Well, Brother Rob, just too strong. You go out and talk to me. Yeah, my pastor, man, he don't cut no slack. He's just too strong. I go down to preach for Brother Michael Beachy down there. Oh, man, hey, Brother Rob, you going to take our heads off today? You're going to kill us? You're going to slay us today? You know, come on, man. That's not even in my heart, brethren. I love people. I give my heart and my life to try to help people. But that's the way people think. You say, why don't you take heed and listen? Why, if I could be a whoremonger like McKinney, we could all go and have a charismatic time with him and dance with him? Brethren, I can't sit in front of failure and do nothing about it. I can't see a man or a woman losing their soul and just sit back and do nothing about it. You say, I thought we was going to get into this doctrine of Baal. Well, here's what I'm saying about that. Is, you know, if I take you into some historic readings of what took place in the Old Testament, I've done nothing for you. I just added something to your little palate, you know, and to your little mental capacity where you got some kind of revelation. But if I can't make a presentation to you today that you see this same absolute spirit that is taking and worrying on you and working in your household and the things to bring you down, then I have not made an accomplishment this morning whatsoever at all. Amen. We got to bring things out of a veil. Now, when Balak saw that Baal wasn't yielding to him or wasn't doing this thing. It grieved him very much so. It grieved him bad. And then, you know, as we say, the way of Baal, the heirs of Baal, and the doctrine of Baal. When we go over here and we look, put Revelations 2:14, I think, is the word spoke about when he's speaking to the church at, I believe it was Pergamos, I'm not sure. And I could stand correct, but I'm almost sure it's Revelation 2:14. I'm not sure if it's wrote down in this. It isn't. It says, but I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication. These Hebrew children, these Israelite people, however you want to express it, were so strong in God, they couldn't touch him. So it sends a man that esteemed to be a great prophet, and the things that he said would come to pass. And he said, if you bless, it's blessed. If you curse, it's cursed. Speaking of Balaam. Now, the thing is if it, you know, they seen the power, but he couldn't do this. I can only speak what God puts in my mouth. So he couldn't bring this great people down like this. So he goes another route. And now we're going to talk about the present day church. Going to go another route. We have things, we have saints, we know the scriptures and the word of God, but they say flattery diggeth a pit. Wonder if that's a new thing under the sun. Men love flattery. The Bible said priests love gifts. They love gifts. You know, what is a gift, Brother Rob? Is it some kind of substance? You know, well, what about the gift of wisdom? What about the gift of knowledge? What about the gift of tongues, prophecy, healing? Those are gifts. Men love gifts. You see, you could take a gift of God to promote yourself, project yourself. Well, bless God, brother, and I got a gift of healing. If there's any sick and afflicted among you, I this, and I got this, and I got that. You ain't got nothing. He's got everything. I'm just part of him. And you know what? His healing powers are not going to work for you unless you can come to a place that you could receive what he's got for you. But again, when I say flattery diggeth a pit, we start watching and seeing, you know, these doctrines that are still apparent, still around. And you say, well, this was a little different, Brother Rob. They brought these women before them, and they started having relations with these women. And doing those things brought the failure, brought the wrath of God and the judgments of God. You see, brethren, let's look at this in a present-day truth for a minute. Do I think the only thing that's going to make you fail God is sexual immorality? Well, it's one of the greatest tools of Satan. But let me tell you, you could be so immoral sexually speaking and be faithful to one wife. But then yet, your sexual immorality is in the spiritual dimension. And now, you know, if you don't think, you know, well, the Bible says in the spiritual dimension, Brother Rob, that there's no marriage or given to marriage and this and that. But also the Bible does say about spiritual wickedness and spiritual darkness. Amen? So then we start defining. You see, we break the spiritual realm down, we break the soul realm down, and we break the natural realm down. So a lot of times when I speak spiritually speaking, you automatically go over to the spirit of the third heaven with Christ. And I say, okay, that's fine. But what about spiritual wickedness and spiritual darkness and principalities and powers? Where are we going to put those at? Now, the thing is when I come into the reproduction realm and the bride realm and bringing forth the heir to the throne, I go always to the second heaven. Out of the second heaven, we bring forth the Lord Jesus Christ. We bring forth the Christ child. We bring forth the heir to the throne of God. Now, see, you can stop with that, but he said he was the firstborn of many brethren under the same father. So then we've got to find out that we're heirs to the throne of God. And not leaving the foundational thoughts here of this doctrine, but I'm speaking of the same thing that caused 24,000 of the Hebrew children to have their heads taken. I'm not saying they put their head up in the sun and showed them. And, you know, I don't know if they done like, you know, if you would study about this king over there in Transylvania named Dracula. I'm not talking about your Hollywood bloodsuckers. But I'm talking about the king that was really his name. And when somebody would rob and steal in his community, he would take and put a spear right through the back of the skull right there. And they would hang him right on the gates of the town for everybody to see and hang him out there. Well, according to the scriptures here, I think it might be over in Numbers 30 or 31. Let me see here. It says, because of their sins, 24,000 Israelites perished under God's judgment. Where it said that they were going to take them and put their head out in the sun and to show all the people. They were killed, slain. And in another place, it talked about even their daughters, different things. But let me go on a minute. We like to say things when we're talking about the blessings of God. Man, our God's the same today to every generation, praise God. Man, you know, man, he's still in the healing business, praise the Lord, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. He's a good God, amen. And he wants to bless me, wants me to prosper, wants me to be in health. That's all scripture and it's all word. But when we're talking about that God in that way of how good he is and how awesome he is and how much blessings he has for us, and how he wants to bless his children, and we all stand in the line for the blessings of God. We also got to remember that he's the same in wrath, the same in judgment. And you could say, I'm his elect, and all of a sudden find yourself being slain. Now, we got to define some things here. These children showing this promised seed, this promised elect, many of them failed. When we find them coming out of Egypt, you know, we find them out here in the wilderness. And we find the earth opening up and swallowing up thousands of these people for their murmuring and complaining. We find a place here that 24,000 of them are slaughtered and killed because they yielded to this heir of Baal and followed after this. Balak figures that he knows that this army will defeat him and take his land. It's prophesied in the word that they're going to take everything and all the spoils and everything from him. So he wanted them to be cursed, but he finds a prophetic utterance that these people are going to take. And he knew the only chance that he had was if he can get those people to sin against their God. Right? So the thing is now let's take that for a moment and bring it into a present day application for Christian Temple Church. Well, you know, I'm not going to sin against God, Brother Rom. I'm not going to do this and I'm not going to do that. When we look at the beauty of these women, and they brought them before them, and then they started partaking with them and going to their sacrifice of idols and worshiping with them is exactly what caused these people to fall, correct? Took their life. So I look at your life today, and I look at your ministries today, and I look at where you're at. You sit in a work, you make yourself available, and you make yourself faithful and loyal, as the elect God should. But then yet, you could be doing the very same thing here. And you say, well, I'm not worshiping idols. You're not. What is the worship of idols? You know, we look over there and we see it as one aspect. It's like I said, well, Brother Rob, I'm not going to go to hell as an adulteress. Man, I'm faithful to my wife. I'm faithful to my husband. You know, I'm not in adultery at all. But then the Lord look at you and say, well, you know, your friendship with the world is adultery. And a man finds himself in hell for an adultery. And it wasn't anything to do with the sexual relationship. You see, it's a much greater day today, brethren, than it was then. You know why one was caught in the act of adultery, they drag him out, stone him to death. But then today, you know, God's the same to every generation, the same mind and the same law of that is here. Oh, but Brother Rob, we're under the grace of God. We're under the mercies of God. You don't have to remind me of that. I do understand that. But are you taking the grace of God to lasciviousness? The Bible said it's not there for the occasion of the flesh. That's New Testament doctrine. It said that this grace is not there for the occasion of the flesh. In other words, hey, I'm under the grace of God, man. Let's live it up, man. It's okay. It's cool. Let's go party a little bit, man. Let's go have a good time. You know, let's go to the beach, man, and let's do this and let's do that. Man, you're in the wrong mindset already. Well, what's wrong with going to the beach, Brother Rom? I don't think there's anything wrong with going to the beach. I've gone to the beach before. I wasn't in a Speedo. But after I get done with this diet, no, okay. God, that's a scary sight, ain't it? Oh, God. I don't want a mental picture of that. This old flesh ain't seen the sun in a long time. Looked like a neon light bulb running around out there, man. Amen. I don't have desires for those things. Don't have the desires. I know we'd be coming back from working in Mexico. We'd stop down here on the Gulf Coast, and we'd drive on the beach down there in Texas, you know, on the Gulf Coast, where you could drive your car down the beach, and we'd, you know, walk on the beach. So I've enjoyed that. But when you're going to go down there at this time of year and the people are stripped off like a bunch of stinking beast, and you want to go down there, well, you know, Brother Rob, I just want to go, you know, to the beach and just have a good time. You're a pervert. You know, you like it when they got that G-string up their hind end for you could look at your wife and say, man, would you look at that? And all you're doing is lusting at it. You know, man, look at that stinking whore. The brother I was talking about that failed said he was closest to Brother George. Every time I was with him, when Brother Pop, man, we might be off in town, we might be doing some kind of exploit or something, and you'd see these provocative looking women, and he'd never look straight ahead. He'd always be like this, go, man, Brother Rob, look at that. Look at that, Brother Rob, right there. And he said, man, that woman ain't nothing. Man, he was eating her alive. Same man was taking finances from the ministry, sleeping with women in the Philippines. You say, Brother Pike had them kind of perverts under him? Sure he did. Jesus did too. You can find fault with him. Brother George is a soul winner. He's trying to win them in, give them a vision, do something for God. And that's the kind of things that they would do. And you say, but what a failure. Well, let's talk about you now. Let's talk about your life, your labors, your works. Well, I'd surely never do something like that, but you might be doing something worse. You see, you don't know how to judge things and analyze things by the mind of revelation and the mind of Christ. You look at this man over there doing that and you think, what a wretched man, you could be doing worse than him. See, we came to a higher accountability, brethren. And you say, why would you say that? Because we're at the close of time. We're at the close of the church ages. We're at the close of the dispensation of grace. And we have taken to the fullness of the advantage of the grace of God and the mercies of God. And we're standing at this time that there's going to be an exposure, an unveiling of what we are. You know, right now you can say, man, it's under the blood. You know, I plead the blood of Jesus, it's under the blood. Oh, we're all under the grace. We're all under the mercy. But you need to take advantage of to get yourself prepared when the blood comes off, that you'll be standing there outshining the noonday sun. And without that, brethren, you're going to be exposed in your darkness, and that means the casting out. So if we see that this great, blessed, and prosperous children of God being cursed, or they couldn't be cursed, they tried to get a curse on them, but it was impossible for them to be cursed, but they could walk and fail against God. And they did. They sought after these things. Now, if I bring that into a present-day application again, to a present-day truth, you say, how could I be guilty of that very thing today, Brother Rob? I love the Lord with all my heart. Don't you know those people did? Those people were there and witnessed the parting of a sea. They witnessed the provisions of God, the miracles of God over and over and over again. You know, people fool themselves and they think, you know, well, man, you know, if I would have saw those things, no, it would have been no different. You know, walks in on one day into Israel, Hosanna in the highest, Hosanna, Hosanna, praise be to Hosanna. And the next week, curse. People are given to change that fast, brother. Just in that fast. I take you all many times over there to Peter in the scriptures. And who does men say that I am? Thou art the Christ. Well, this was revealed to you from heaven. This wasn't revealed by man or flesh and blood. This is a revelation. This came to you from heaven. A few, 5-6 verses down, he says, get you behind me, Satan. Whoa. What happened to this guy that just had this great, you know, hey, man, I got this. Hell, man, I seen into the heavens, praise God. I got a revelation, glory be to Jesus. He said, get you behind me, Satan. Well, I'll let the air out of your sails real quick, huh? I've experienced that. I experienced that very thing with Brother Pike. He esteemed me really powerfully and really great. And then the next thing took my head off. I thought, whoa, which one is it? But you see, sometimes you could get esteemed and then you get a little overconfident and that old hoary head comes up, that old serpent head comes up out of there. And he said, man, I ain't going to let that thing come around. It'll kill you. He took time to sit down, talk with me and explained himself to me. He said, I know it seemed, brother, hard, but he said, that thing would destroy you, brother Rob. It'd kill you. I don't want those things in my life. You know, I thank God for a pastor that when he sees that thing climbing up, brother, he's going to have enough love to do something and to say something about it. Again, in looking, and we see that the failure of God's people, and he brings his judgment down on his people. He brought judgment on his own like people. The writer of this thing, Chuck's got the thing over in a, where it could be printed like this, and maybe some of you, we can maybe print out some of these for you and give you an email or something, or maybe tell you what you could do, Brother Chuck. I think could post it over on that Christian Temple page, and some of the people that they want to download, and they could read it there. I may not be doing it justice, but I got a point in my spirit from God. That's what I got. I read an article like that, and I see today. I see mankind's failure today. I could go into a historic event. I could have made some notes and markings of it. It's a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful things to watch it by the revelation of the Lord to see what happened in there. And I know, again, no new thing under the sun. I know what's happening today. That's what troubles me, is that as merciful as God is to his people, as his judgment is so real. See, God's judgment is very real to me, brethren. Very powerful to me. And I thank God for the chastening of the Lord. But I don't like it no more than you do. But I do know what it does is it brings and yields forth fruits of righteousness when it comes. It's going to yield forth. It's going to bring forth. You dads, you get weary and disciplining your children. But let me tell you something. You keep doing it. Don't let up one moment. I don't care if they think you're mean. I don't care what. But you stay on it and you're going to see the fruit of it yielded forth. The fruit of their obedience. The fruit of love. Children that are disciplined know they're loved. I've known children that come from homes that weren't disciplined. And the children, they knew there was something missing. They don't know how to interpret this, but they sense it as a lack of love. I know that we brought children into this school from homes that didn't discipline. And with our disciplinary policies, I watched the children cleave to the discipline. And you say, I was just out of fear. No, they recognize it as love. There's not no harsh discipline in this school. If I thought there was children being hurt here or harmed in any way, I would remove the brother or the sister or whatever immediately. And there ain't going to be no children harmed here. But I'll tell you what, as the Bible says, beat them, won't kill them. Amen. So sometimes has to do it. Now, again, let me say this. That's if I could make an expression of this. You say, well, you already have. Well, You might think so. Maybe it might have, maybe with you, possibly. But brethren, I'm telling you, as simple as things are to see and to view, I marvel sometimes how much it's hid. The Bible said hid from the wise and the prudent. But in this day and hour today, I watched a man that was a Catholic. He came up, got saved. I say made the attention or the motions towards salvation, got in and labored with the brethren at Bethlehem. Come out of Catholicism, you know, was working and laboring with the brethren. Well, he had never been exposed to what I was exposed to. And I'm not going to sit here and make myself better or this and that, but I'm going to tell you something. If there was a man sitting here today and I was talking about drug addiction and this man was addicted by drug, he'd have a better understanding of what I'm trying to express than the guy that never had drugs. He said, man, I've had that in my blood. Man, I've been cramped over, man, in literal misery, in cramps and laying over. I've been sweating and vomiting and puking, you know, whatever, man, under the influence of drugs. And that would mean something more so than one that's not. And I could say that, you know, not making myself, but the Pentecostal air in the realm of the 80s that I went through and the things that I witnessed, the things that I watched, I've seen some wonderful things. And I seen some terrible, heartbreaking things. Now, I don't know if God knew. As Brother Pike told me this one time, he said, you know, a lot of times God will allow ministers to see things that nobody else would ever see just for the education or the strength for to help make a better leader, a better thing. I use examples of the little girl flipping her car. I said, hey, you know, this makes good drivers. Maybe that's the way I learned, Brother John. Another guy learned by textbook. Another guy says, hey, man, I had to go stink and tear the car up, brother. You know what I'm saying? To learn about hydroplaning. So Maybe you're smarter than me. You could read something and all of a sudden you apply it and you live this life. I learned a lot of things through hard knocks. You know, you say, well, do you have a college degree? Yeah, in hard knocks. Amen. Got a master in it. I'm a doctor of hard knocks theology. Amen. But again, as I come out of this charismatic move in this church world, I even have a reservation to say I came out of the charismatic move, because let me tell you, I separated from before I knew Brother Pike and ever met him. I was so disgusted and sick of it. You know, you hear it in many of the messages I'm speaking, because I see it's got such a strong hold on people. Now, I'm talking about a man that sat right under Brother Pike. So now he's a minister. Well, he's going to burn the fields up for God. And he goes out there and he gets among the charismatics and they swallowed him. I mean, they swallowed him up, man. And boy, this is the greatest, most powerful move of God. Man, this has got to be what Brother George was talking about. It was what Brother George was talking about. It was the most deceptive move of God that the world had ever seen. Now, you say, well, we're talking about this doctrine of Baal and this ways of Baal. This is exactly what I'm talking about. You see, there's Pentecostals that love this beauty of this thing. They love the charisma of this thing. And let me tell you what they're offering. They're offering the charisma, the shout, the joy, the enthusiasm with no correction, no reproof, no exhortations. And without those things, there's no strength. In America today, I tell you, everything has a significance. Everything has a powerful significance. I just read an article either last night or this morning, and they used the term snowflake in it. And they said that there's a snowflake, is the way the article is expressed, that's suing the College of Berkeley because they're not allowing free speech from a conservative come over and do a free speech in a liberal college. Here's the sad thing. We're going to talk about something carnal right now as news media, as carnal as the colleges of America. I mean, if Satan has got a stronghold to indoctrinate and teach, you know, some say, oh, I'm going to send my son to Bible college. Well, send him to regular college. Well, that's just as bad Bible college. But I mean, you send them to college, they're going to be indoctrinated, thus saith the Lord. And you could hate me for this, but they're going to be indoctrinated into Satanism. They're going to be indoctrinated in the doctrines of Baal. They're going to be indoctrinated, brethren, into the things of this world, and it's all about them and self-esteem and prestige and pressing and getting what you want. And that's the way of the world. Martin Luther made a powerful statement back in the 1500s. He said the gateway to hell will be through the education system. An American education system is the most defiled, the most perverted, the most wretched, the most ungodly. You know why? Because it's just got a little bit of good in it too. Well, if it just unveil itself, you would see the evils of it. The evils of it. The perversion of it. You say, that sounds pretty harsh, Brother Rob. I think things are pretty harsh when it has got the whole nation deceived into one mind and one accord. You see, we as the Christians are supposed to come into one mind and one accord. Not supposed to pierce each other through. The world has successfully done that. They've got them all in the same mind. How did they do it? Social media. How'd they do it? Television. How'd they do it? Hollywood. How'd they do it? Ministers of Satan. They bring you the same mind in the church. The college professors bring you the same mind. They tell us, you can't judge. Oh, where's your love of God in that? Oh, this is the way God made me. Now listen, some of you young ministers here, listen to me on this. Here's 24,000 of God's children getting killed. Okay? Because they intermingled. They intermingled with another doctrine, another religion, another God. Now, I stand before you and I say things like this all the time. I talked about this. Well, I just said this about the brother right there, sat under Brother Pike, and he goes out, and this charismatic move swallowed him up hook, line, and sinker. Man, he said, I'm selling out my, I'm getting rid of my American citizenship, man. America's done. America's over. I'm selling my citizenship out. I'm surrendering it, and I'm going to become a Filipino. And I'm going to denounce this and that, and I'm going to go there, and this is where the great move of God is. Hey, I was there. And it's powerful. But it was the doctrine of Baal. I'm telling you what, I mean, these people love the Lord and they would worship and sing. I wouldn't get the sacred desk until 9:30, sometimes almost as late as 10 o'clock at night. We started at 7. I mean, they're praising God and worshiping and singing, but they were different than Americans. Americans, when they had tea at 10 o'clock, everybody's ready to go home, and they sit and glare at the preacher like, okay, you know. They just want to hear me say, oh, God loves you, God blesses you, God's going to pour His Spirit out upon you, and God's going to do good for you. Okay, let's have closing prayer. And everybody goes home excited. Man, we had such an awesome time with Bill Gaither, the biggest reprobate pervert that ever walked in shoe leather. You know why? Because he was a man of God, and he opened up the doctrines to all this perversion and started bringing them in and intermingling it. When you take a preacher supposed to be an anointed God, he brings some long-haired, pinsky, guy rod, pin rod pervert into the house of God and lets him sing before the people of God and before your children. How come your children don't want to line up with the Scripture? Because you let them watch that kind of perversion and that kind of filth. You see, it's the doctrine of Baal. It's the intermingling and mixing with something. Oh, they got the fame. They got the popularity. Boy, they got television evangelism. Man, they're going around the world. They're going into all the countries. Man, look at all the people that they're reaching. They ain't reaching nobody. All they're doing is converting people into being twofold more the child of hell. Brethren, there's got to be doctrine. And doctrine always has to have correction. Always. You see, if we teach children in school and they just do their grades and they bring it in, we pass them with grades, we got a bunch of morons when we get them out of school. We got to say, no, this is wrong. Correction. You can't, no, this is incorrect. Incorrect, incorrect. Doctrine. But there's no correction in that doctrine. I mean, Brother Larry's come here. He said he got one whipping in his life growing up. It was by his grandma. Let's give grandma a hand. Amen. Grandma may be gone, grandma may be buried, but maybe grandma had some sense. Is that your mama's daddy, Brother Larry? Your dad's mom. She whooped your dad too? Maybe that's why you don't like whoopings, huh? But it's caused complications with his family. But now this is, I'm going to just share Brother Larry's testimony with me. He said, I take my children down there, and when they're spoke to, it's yes, sir, no, sir, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. Obedience. And he goes around some of their other family that isn't disciplined, and the kids are irreverent and rowdy and these different things. Why doesn't granddad go and shake Brother Larry? Man, I appreciate you taking care of my grandchildren. I appreciate you raising them up in the way they should go. But he's ill about it, angry about it, upset about it. Why? I know the answer. Why? Because it's a demon. Brother Larry's dad is a fine man, but he is demon-possessed. And it's a demon. You know what a demon will do, Brother John? A demon will take their own grandchildren and put them into the eternal lake of fire and think that they're doing God a service. Come on, now listen to me. See, people don't understand the spiritual world. But you know the stories that there's people in these different occult things and stuff that they'll sacrifice babies. Women will carry a baby and they'll take this newborn baby over to an altar and they will take and kill this baby as a sacrifice unto God. Those things happen in your country, I'm sorry to say. You think, oh, that happens over here in some of these third world countries and maybe in Haiti with the witchcraft. I'm telling you, it happens here. It happens in the realms of Christianity in another dimension. There's people sacrificing their children for a little fame and popularity in this world. Had a preacher here that was ordained in this church. Gave him paperwork ordination in this church. And I rebuked him. I said, if you do this, I'm going to remove your status. He did it. I removed his status. But this man was selling his daughters out for popularity and for a buck. Come on now. He's not the first one. I could tell you of another minister who would probably blow your mind. But he would use his daughters to flaunt for he can get a better position in a better place. That man is going to stand some of the grossest judgment that is ever even heard of. I told you about Dell's pastor. I went. That's where I met Brother Dell in that church. Didn't stick around very long. The man was a filthy pervert. He was the most ungodly, filthiest, slimiest pastor of out of all the ones I met. He's up in the top ranks. Full of lust. I mean, lust just boiled over in this man, boiled in him. I told you that he was a truck driver, and when he would come up to the gates, he would jump back in the sleeper, and he'd put his wife in the tightest, formest fitting t-shirt with no bra on, and get her out there swinging across the parking lot. She'd go up there, and he'd get his truck moved right up in the front line. That preacher is going to be in hell, my friend, flaunting his wife like that. But she'd done the same thing in every church service. Got up with her tambourine, boy. She was beautiful in the way she could do a tambourine, Brother John. It looked so beautiful. And she was, man, so elegant looking. And she could swirl and spin and play that tambourine and cry and speak in tongues. And it was nothing but the devil. Because a holiness woman would never flaunt herself off to get moved up 2 weeks in a line to get their truck unloaded. Amen. Now, you say, boy, Brother Rob, you sound so hard, man, and stuff like that. I am, because I can't stand the works of the devil. But it's been accepted in the church. And people sit under that kind of things and watch it, and they see it, and they're blind, and they don't see the families being killed and families being destroyed. But then there'll be a little show of spiritualism, a little this and a little that. Always seeking for the new thing. Always wanting something a little bit different and something a little bit better. So we read a story here about these men going to sacrifices of other gods and being partaken and eating of these sacrifices and being partakers of those things. And they lose their life and lose their soul. So you want a present day truth. And I say, could Brother John Luffman be doing that? And maybe just as ignorant as those children of God were, or Brother Randy, or Brother Rob, Brother Frady. Could we be, by being deceived by the doctrines of devils? I mean, come on, I've said this to you, church. Don't get all lifted up. Well, I know it's impossible to deceive God's very elect, and I'm God's elect. I've heard that from out of so many mouths of people, and they're on their way to hell. You think you're God's elect because you listened to Billy Graham? And he said, will you say this prayer? And you ask God in your heart, and you're saved. Are you going to go there with me? And you say, well, Brother Rob, don't come against that doctrine, because that's what the Bible says. I know what the Bible says, but it's line upon line. The Bible says that they praise them with their lips, with their hearts far from them. If you want to just get right down to the letter of the word, and get right down just to the word, the Bible said, them that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So we're going to stop with that. Well, I called upon him. Hallelujah, I'm saved. You better keep on calling upon him until you found him, or until he finds you. Amen. You know, the Apostle Paul, I say so oftentimes, what he say, I travail until Christ be formed in you. You see, I could be selfish and just, hey, I can go back into aviation business, man, and just, you know, love the Lord and have a little prayer life, send my finances into a church, you know, and just go, you know, praise God, you know, hallelujah. I don't have no desire for that, brethren. I want to give my life to win a soul. I want to be spent. I want to struggle. I want to get in the toil and the labors and the struggle. But I'm telling you, brethren, we go back and we look at Sodom and Gomorrah. We go here to the story about Bel and we read about it. We go over and read the stories about Jonah. And we read these stories and we get a historical event or value and stuff. But let me tell you today, brethren, is because Satan has got such a platform now. He's never had a platform any time in the history of the church that he has now. You say, well, Judas was the devil and he was right there with the Lord Jesus. That's a pretty good platform. I say, yay and amen. But let me tell you about his platform today. He's got every church on his side in America. He's converted every single denomination that there is. Go back and ask for that letter again. Charismatic deception. He's got every church denomination. He owns the satellites. He's the God of this world. He says that the Antichrist will get the whole world to follow after him. If you don't believe that that's happening, brethren, you're blind as a bat. And you say, well, Brother Rob, you know, there's still a God. And I say, yeah, and amen. We're still serving a mighty God and a good God and a just God and a righteous God and a holy God. But we're not going to modify him. And if we start trying to modify his ways and we take his grace and take it to lasciviousness, then what are we? What are we then? Oh, but it's good, Brother Rob. It's pleasing to the eye. That started out in the garden. Oh man, if you partake of this, make you of God. So we get around these other denominations, these other churches. I got youth that are on their way to hell in this church, thus saith the Lord. I'm telling you that. I hate that, brethren. With everything I do, we get them in our school, we do this and that. But what I'm saying is they're eating out there in the social world and they got a taste for it. It's whetted their appetites. I told Brother Josh, I said, that dog gets a chase of chicken blood, you'll never stop it. I said, you'll never stop it. He almost lost his life yesterday and about killed one of my chickens. That's a very expensive dog. I love German Shepherds. It's a very high dollar dog. The last thing I'd do is shoot my grandson, granddaughter's dog. But there ain't no training it now. That thing's done, got the taste of blood. How many of my animals are going to let it kill? That dog was lucky yesterday because I had my hammer hanging right here on my bags. And boy, man, as he had that chicken in his mouth, man, feathers flying everywhere, man, I reached for that hammer, man. I was getting ready to throw it at him. Done it right within 1 foot of Sister Ashley. She's screaming, oh my God. Say, what are you talking about, Brother Ron? You see, once they get a shepherd gets a taste of that, you'll never break it. It's impossible. It'll always go for that. Just the way it is. I know, I've raised dogs. But see, we got to also look at it in another realm. Sometimes people get a taste of this stuff out there and they like it. We can go to the natural allegory. I like cheesecake. Son, it's obvious. It sticks out all over me. I love them donuts, Brother Ed. Whoa, man. Boy, he comes showing up, man. Got them things coming through the door. Say, man, I love you, Brother Ed. You're fine, Brother Ed. It shows up, doesn't it? That's what a honey bun looks like. This is sweet roll over on this side. This here's a... some laughing, some saying, oh me. Yeah. Shows up, don't it? Amen. There's a revelation in everything, brother. Yeah, there's a revelation in all things. You say, Brother Rob, you say we got youth going to hell. Well, see, they're being partakers. There's a thing that looks a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. You know, we quote those scriptures, but we understand what that means. And I preach a standard, a separation from the world, come out of the thing. And then you go intermingle with other people, and they're at the beach, talking about Jesus, and they come back and, well, these are good people, man. You know, Brother Rob just too strong, too dumb. Man, what's wrong with this? Ain't a thing wrong going to the beach. But there's a mind that puts you there. And there's a mind that's fed while you're there. You say, are you against the beach, Brother Rob, because of the nudity and the stripping off and all that? Is that why you're against the beach? No. That's just one of the side effects of it. I used to live on the coast of California. I lived in Pismo Beach. I lived in Huntington Beach. I lived in Laguna Beach. I lived in places that were very close to the beach all the time. And you know what's funny? When I lived there, I hardly ever went there. When it was just right there. But you know, there's a beauty there. I love the beach. I love the sound of the waves. I love the seagulls and different things. Maybe the same thing that might draw you there. But then yet, if there's even nobody there, I got to find out why I'm there. What is my reason for being there? Why am I there? And I got to find my mind and my thoughts and things. You say, well, Brother Rob, you know, I'm a working man, so am I. Well, you know, sometimes I need a little rest and relaxation, so do I. And God even shows us that. But you see, there's a lot of things that we're motivated to do because the others are. I think Brother Frady's children have never seen the coast, have they? Boy, you could sit here and say amen. The rest of us got to say oh me, you know. They've never seen the coast. You know, Brother Rob thought about asking him one day to take his children, take them over there. We took the kids right here from the school, and I took them out on the Outer Banks, showed them the lighthouses. They'd done a little study, and we looked at the lighthouses when they were set. And don't say, there's nothing wrong with that stuff. But it's like Brother Pike said about deer hunters. He said, if you can get away from opening day, you might conquer something. Brother Pike said this statement. He said, you know, I'll be over in another country ministering the word of God. I went there on the calling of God, the mind of the Lord, to bring win souls into the kingdom. They get done. They're getting ready to go home. He said, sometimes we'd look around a little bit. He said, I never scheduled a vacation to do that, ever. He said, I never one time scheduled a vacation. But he said, I was there. One time his children was with him. He said, they went over and they went fishing. You say, oh man, I knew he wasn't right with God. But you see, there's a mind. But let's go back before we can find a place in this doctrine that we're talking about of Bell for a moment. I haven't done much to bring it into a present day truth. I've said some things that maybe if you're perceptive, you could kind of pull it in to see what's going on in the Church of the United States of America. The failure for the reason those 24,000 were killed and slain by the direction and by the hand of God were the same reason American church is slain and killed and destroyed. Amen. Because they become partakers of the spoils, partakers of the move, and partakers of the things. Let me tell you, many wonderful people that were called and gifted and anointed. I met this girl, I don't know if she's still around or not, but Karen Whedon. When that little girl got saved, and man, with her gifts, man, she was could worship the Lord and bring people into worship and things, but TBM recognized it. She started intermingling with the spoils of Bell and those people the same way and started getting prestige in the lights of those kind of things and sold her soul. Now she's became one of the most powerful evangelists for Satan that's ever been in shoe leather. I can say the same thing about Amy Grant, anointed, virtuous little lady. And now she's promoting perversion with the sodomy and the sodomite agendas. She's become one of the greatest and the most powerful tools of Satan to win the children of America to Satanism that ever been. Because she offers those things. Amen? So what we're doing is talking about something that started out correct and right with the real true concern, but then was deceived and perverted and swayed. Amen. With that said, this is why we have oversight. This is why we have shepherds. This is why we have a church that's supposed to be praying and seeking the Lord. For we can see these things that are killing and destroying and taking away and robbing. You can have the right things to say. Well, I know I'm God's elect. It's impossible to deceive God's elect. And I stand here before you and tell you I'm God's elect and I've been deceived. And you say you just violated the word. No, you don't understand the word. It's impossible to deceive God's elect into the point of deception to lose their soul. The Bible said we don't have a spirit of error. I make errors, brother, but I don't have a spirit of an error. The spirit of error is when you're continual error, and you keep walking in the same thing and the same thing and the same thing, then it's become a spirit of error. And when that spirit of error gets to you, I'm explaining the same thing here with different things. In the Christian community, they'll say, a Christian cannot be possessed by a devil. And I say, yay and amen, I agree with that. Possession of the devil's ownership of the devil, they're no longer a Christian. They're dead. They're twice dead at that point of time. But let me tell you, a Christian, you, brother, you ministers, you sisters, can be oppressed by devils. They could come and they could affect you in your flesh, affect you in your thinking. They could change your thoughts, your mind, and they could lead you into some hideous, terrible failures. You know, I hear probably one of the most common quoted scriptures among, oh, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. And I'm thinking, yeah. Amen. I love that doctrine too. But then why is this worldly one leading you and guiding you and directing you? You haven't allowed the greatness of God to come forth and fight. You've hid it down in there. Sometimes you got to call it forth. This is why when I call on you ministers, you need to call that power forth from within that man and pull it out. Bring it into a manifestation. Oh, Brother Rob, I know I got God's Spirit. Let me see it. Oh, Brother Rob, I'm walking in the Spirit of God. Well, I could see that. If you're walking in the Spirit, it's going to be noted of you. They're going to see the attributes of God in you. Oh, Brother Rob, I got the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, you can't hide that, I'll promise you. If you got the revelation of Jesus Christ, it's revealed in your work. It's revealed in your comments and your actions. It's revealed in your walk. It's been revealed in every aspect of your life. When a man's got the revelation of Jesus Christ, it makes him the greatest husband ever was and the greatest wife ever was. When you got the revelation of Jesus Christ, yes, you'll have that other member laying there in your flesh. It's going to be warring against you on a continuous basis. Yes, you're going to fight. You're going to struggle. But when you're full of the Holy Ghost, you're going to take that power, amen, that you say, greater is him that's in me. And you're going to take that power of the Holy Ghost and you're going to overcome those things in your flesh. You're going to overcome the mind. You're going to overcome those thoughts. You're going to overcome the torment. You're going to overcome it all. You see, we have substitutes. For we can feel like we're part of the elect team, the election of God. We have these substitutes to make us think. Bible quotes. You see, I love Bible quotes. If I didn't love Bible quotes, I wouldn't allow you to teach them to our children in the school. But you see, they're not the substitute with an intellectual way of quoting the word. The Bible quote should be something in your spirit to bring forth an action in your life. The book of Acts is action. Okay, then when the book of Acts come, they just didn't sit and talk about what Jesus did and the great things he done. They were in action doing what Jesus was and is. I like when he stands before the same people that put the Lord Jesus Christ to death. He said, I stand here before you this day, testifying the resurrection and the power of God, knowing that these people put his Lord to death. I stand before you this day in our Lord Jesus Christ and in whom you crucified. Boy, I make him want to fight. But you see, he was filled with the same power and the same person with the same action. I'm not here savoring my life. I'm not here savoring my flesh. I'm not savoring my health. I'm not savoring my financial well-being. I'm here standing before you. You can put me to death if you want. But I'm here in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And thus saith the Lord, this is the way it is. You all crucified my Lord and my God. You all killed him. Now see, we could take that and make it a 2,000-year-old message, or we could bring it into a present-day truth. The Lord's being crucified today. You understand that? Now, the Lord had to be crucified 2,000 years ago, correct? He had to be. I preached a message to you a few years ago, and I said if I was going to entitle this message, I would say that God had to have a Judas. Had to. I don't want to be him. But he had to have one. But see, that message is still alive, and it's not that he had to have one then, he's got to have one now, today. There's spots and blemishes in the Feast of Charity. God's going to bring a Judas in, and he's going to crucify you. I'm talking about you all, or me. You understand that? He's going to bring a Judas in. We've had one the whole time we've been here. When the sons of God came to present themselves, the devil was there also. Let me tell you, how did he get in here? He might have came with me. Because I was yielding to the carnal mind, yielding to my flesh and things, savoring the things that I desire and that I want. Sometimes, brethren, I'll put things on a hold for a while. Is this your desire, Brother Rob? Or is this the will of the Lord? And I'll back off a little bit and I'll let him talk to me and let him speak to me. Let him help me. Sometimes I put things, he'll put things on here for me to minister. And sometimes I say, no, I better not tonight. Help me, Jesus. Amen. And sometimes I don't have that kind of restraint. Man asked me to preach in his church. I don't want you to say this and this and that. And I said, get somebody else. Exactly what I told him. And he said, well, no, I don't want to do that. I want you to minister, but I don't want you to deal with it. I said, I can't promise that. That's exactly where I opened up at when I went. He said, you're a jerk. And I said, I know that too. But I'd rather be, as one author said in the Word, he said, you know, if I'm beside myself, I'm beside myself for the Lord. Amen. And if I'm a jerk, Brother John, I'm going to be one best one I could be for Jesus. Amen. 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 So I read an article this morning. I said they referred to this individual as a snowflake. Now I say we bring everything into a present day truth. Why are we having snowflakes out here and we're talking about them? Now if I'm talking about this doctrine of Baal and things has infiltrated the present day church and I see the very same thing and I bring out the allegories of the things that are going on in our world and the schools and everything, and we can't bring Jesus into school, we can't bring Jesus into government, we can't do, and we're looking for the allegories of these things. And here we got these snowflakes. Brother Pike had snowflakes sitting under him. I might have been one of them. He put the blowtorch on my snowflake and it steamed away, man. Snowflakes don't like heat. They don't. They don't like heat at all. And let me tell you, when a man's full of the Holy Ghost, there's going to be some heat. And it melts snowflakes. They don't like the heat. A snowflake isn't going to take correction. They won't take it. They won't take an exhortation. According to the Bible, it would be numbers of fool that despises correction. And our world's full of them. Fools. So, if we see the writing on the wall, tinkle, tinkle, you farson. If we see Ichabod put over the doors of the houses, you know, I'm going to say this real quick. Peter, I mean, he's the guy that had the vision. Remember me bringing this out? I mean, y'all know this, but I brought this out in the message not many weeks back. Peter's the guy that has the vision at Cornelius' house. The things that would have been appeared to him in his doctrines and understanding as a Jew that came down were unclean things that he could not eat of. And he said, man, I'm not putting no unclean thing in my mouth. My God forbid. And he got rebuked, didn't he? And as I brought it out in this message, I'm saying, here's Paul that's got to go rebuke him to his face because he's staying away from the Gentile people when the Jews would come around. You know, and he'd back off. And he said, hey, if we're going to preach this song, we're going to preach all of it. And I'm thinking, lo and behold, why would it be this guy that had saw this thing? Why would it be this guy that God puts him in a trance and brings this to him and tells him the name of the place to go in the house and where it's at and all this? That's pretty much the Lord doing something, right? And he goes to this place. But then yet he's got to get rebuked to his face. So I say, Ichabod, put over the door. And here's a handful of people right here this morning in this church that came out of this place down there that I say got Ichabod over the door. Great, powerful work of God there. Is this reflecting bad on Brother George? No, he's gone, man. He's totally innocent, Brother John. You know why? He kept the fort. He sang songs and preached, you know, a message that we're going to endure and endure all the way to the end. And he had strength and showed strength and he kept things in order. It was a struggle for him. It was a fight for him. Amen. He made statements at certain times. There would be groups of people that would come in. He said, about destroy the work of God. You know, because they come in a power and a group. And, you know, there was a stronghold right in his camp. You know, and they get together. You know, and this is why we got to watch. I tell you, brethren, you know, we bring people in here. You know, you got to watch for the mind and what they're doing, what they're talking about. You know, we had one that wasn't here 2 weeks. But he get out on a job, well, I'm not in agreement with this, I'm not agreeing with that. If you're not in agreement with something, let's talk about it in men's meeting where we can get a mind to it. If you're not in agreement about it, let's find out. And we can alter some course and alter some things. But you don't talk about it on the job. Well, I'm a minister. You ain't fit to be called a minister if you're going to let people puke on your job. There's a proper thing. If there's someone making an allegation against this work, if you're a minister, you need to come to me and to the work. You know, if I'm doing something wrong, let it be established by two of you and come together to the brotherhood. Man, I'll tell you what, I'll hand this work to you that fast. This ain't my work, it's his work. You show me where I'm failed God and I'm an heir and you got somebody to do a better job than me, hey, praise God, I'll sit under him in a second. I'll give that house to him faster than I could get the paperwork signed. I'll have him in there before I can sign the paperwork. Sounds like you're not in this, Brother Rob. I'm in it all the way with him. And I'm not the keystone of this thing. It's him. Amen. And if there's someone that could do this thing, Brother Pike made this statement. He said, if a man come into this place and I saw greater revelation and greater light and greater understanding, he said, I'd submit to that man. And he would. He meant that. You say, so you're saying you're more light and more than? No, there's people that have greater understanding than me, but they don't have to understand how to be a pastor. They're too snowflakey. They don't have enough backbone to get in a man's face and say, brother, you're on your way to hell and you need to repent. Oh, but they could hold your attention with the word. They could hold your attention with what you call revelation. But I'll tell you what, revelation isn't a formulation of structured words. It could bring forth of some structure like that. It could bring forth, that's why I wrote that little pamphlet back there, you know, revelation versus knowledge. You know, because a lot of times we think our knowledge is revelation. No, revelation reveals knowledge. Knowledge doesn't reveal the revelation. You understand? Faith produces works. Works don't produce faith, but works will perfect faith. And your knowledge can perfect revelation, but it doesn't make it. You understand that? A lot of times you could see things, certain thing, and you could have every T crossed in every allegory. You could wear the right color of clothing, the right color of shoes. You could wear and do everything according to that and be lost on your way to hell. We don't make it in that way, but we observe, we watch. So if we look at this doctrine of Baal and we see it manifested in the world that we live in today, brethren, and we see it in full stride just like it was then. So what is the fruit of that doctrine? We see beheading. We see lives being lost. People being killed. What was it? The intermingling. That was the worst thing. I said the other day in looking at this thing, it was that they went after monetary things. Substance, money, mammon, work, fame, business. People are moved by that. Women are moved by it. You could be the biggest dog, pervert, whoremonger, wretch, womanizer, abuser. Man, you drive up in a nice, pretty car and some shiny wheels on that thing, and you got your threads on just right, boy, and you get out of the car, man, and you know, like that, and the women are like, oh, man, there he is. Listen, little sisters. Guess I got them all downstairs. I need to take this rest of the message downstairs. They'll sweep you off your feet. Boy, look at that, man. Oh, he's so cute. Yeah, he's lost. But he's sure good looking. He's lost. Brother Chuck shared with me, which I won't go into things, but he was talking about an individual. He observed a lot of things over the years at a place called Bethlehem. Loved Brother Pike. Loved the brotherhood. Thankful to be part of it. But he still made observations, seen a lot of failures, seen a lot of things. Brother Pike shared many observations with me of his own. He said he got to a place he wasn't going to send any more ministers out. He said because they all failed him so bad, failed the Lord so bad. He said, man, I come to a place, I was done with it. I wouldn't send any more out. They all did the same thing, he said. He named them all by name, told me where they failed, why they failed, and what they did. Many of them, some of them I never met. And he said, I was done, wasn't going to send out. But he said, I got to follow the Lord. This is what the Lord's telling me to do. He had to repent for not sending no more ministers out. You know that? He had to repent. See, I've done the same thing. I come to places, I said, man, and then the Lord said, wait a minute, who's running the camp? Whose place is this? You know, the Lord's had me do things, Brother Melvin, that it wasn't his will for the thing he would have me to do, but he had me do it for one reason and one reason only, to see if I was submitted to him, to listen to him. I've had that happen over the years so many times. We got to find out what motivates us. If y'all remember, I ministered a message. What is the motivating factor? What motivated me to do this? What motivated me to do this? You see, if your motivations are pure and clean and holy and godly, your motivations will yield forth godliness and righteousness, and the provisions will be of God. But you might have other motivations. It could be motivating for self-esteem, self-gratification. It could be for self-ministry, to be esteemed or recognized. When Brother Pike started out, he didn't even want to put his name on books, anything. And I understand that. But then at the very same time, the negative to that, if somebody reads something that they gleaned something from a man, they would want to read after that man. That brother got in touch with the Lord on that. I wonder what other kind of writings he's got. Sometimes I would hesitate. I'm not plagiarized. I never even read anything in this tonight. But sometimes I would be afraid to mention an author's name of something that I might have found something that I'm in agreement with. Because a man could write a beautiful article just as such and have a revelation and see it, but the man's a Trinitarian. And I say, oh, doctor such and such. And you think, hey, man, that was a good art. And then you go read it, and all of a sudden he's converted you into something in another mind, another thing. We've allowed some of Brother Evans. We've sent many of it into the prisons. He's a Trinitarian. I'm in total disagreement with him on some things. But for counseling of marriage, and how a man to treat a woman, and a woman to treat a man, the guy's probably the best I've ever read after. Probably one of the greatest counselors that ever was. He'll teach you. He'll teach you how to be a husband. But if you want to get some doctrine on making it into the kingdom, being a good husband will help you. Don't misunderstand that. Because you can be a poor husband and tell me you're the elect of God and abuse your wife, treat her like a dog, come home and say, it ain't none of your business, shut your mouth. I do what I'm going to do. Sister, dump that sucker. I mean to tell you, you say, well, Brother Rob, you don't believe in divorce. I didn't tell you divorce him. I said dump him. What do you mean by that? Ball bat, bedspread? No. I hate male chauvinism, but I love spiritual masculinity. I don't like a wimp man. A man should have his home in order, his children in order, his wife in order, his household in order. If his wife's doing what she wants to do, that man got no say-so in nothing. He most definitely don't have no say-so in the ministry. That's a violation to the ministry of the gospel, and that man needs to sit down because his house is out of order. I know men that are that way, that they would be violated from that. Amen? Give me just a moment. We're going to close. Y'all love the Lord this morning? Brother, you can sit in a message like today, and we can sit there and say, God, man, I hope Brother Chapman heard what Brother Rob's saying. Boy, I hope Brother Gilbert heard. You know, I hope Brother Whitlow heard, Brother Tab heard. When we should be saying, I hope I'm hearing what the Lord is saying unto the church. You know, brother, and I've had counterfeit money given to me. You give me 10 $100 bills that are counterfeit, I'm going to smile just as big with them 10 if they were real or fake, because I can't tell the difference. Woohoo! Got me a grand. But you know, there's a lot of people with that kind of thrill and enthusiasm in something counterfeit. And then when they get to spend it, somebody says, I'm sorry, sir, that ain't no good. It's no good. And then all of a sudden you thought you had something, but you don't have what you thought you had. There's a lot of people that have a lot of charisma and enthusiasm about their word and about their doctrines, about their churches, about things they are, but they're going to find out that it's a counterfeit. It looks familiar, looks similar. It's got a form of godliness. Got lying signs and wonders the Bible talks about. But even with that said, we got to go a little bit farther than that, is the rain comes down on the unjust church, brethren. And I mean to tell you, they'll have them a great time in the Lord. And to see the very elect if possible. You watched me reach and reach and reach and reach and reach for a woman here not long back. She has zero idea that she is so wrapped up into a counterfeit, and of that this charisma, this shout, and this hollering and the dance isn't finding favor with God. Now see, you could hear this message so much that the Spirit of God could be moving and you're afraid to stick your hands up. Shame on you. Brethren, I'm telling you what, I've seen people dance around in this church, man, that got touched by the Lord, and they knew they got touched. They knew they had physical elements in their body, and when they got set free from them things, they knew that they knew that they knew. And I mean, they might dance and shout and scream and cry and holler. And I say, oh, shut up, man. You're in the flesh. You ain't never going to hear that out of me. Man, I'm going to rejoice with them. I might be just as dancing like a wild Indian right beside them. Amen? But that's not flesh, brethren. But let me tell you, when people over the years have observed, man came to preach at Bethlehem after Brother Pike had passed away. And this is one of the reasons that I resigned and stepped down there, because of allowing this man to come in there. Amen. And he gets up on the platform and he mocked Brother Pike the whole service. Mocked every brother in that church. Mocked them. And said, boy, it was the same kind of idea. Like, well, now the real power's here. The real Spirit of God is here. The real revelation's here. And he was a Branhamite. And he got up there and mocked Brother Pike. And he gets up there and done. We could read about it with Moses, where he had to have the brethren hold his arms up there like that. And he got up there and put another brother come up and holding the guy's arms up, because, man, he was under such an anointing of God. And I had to get up and walk out, because I wanted to puke right in the pew. And I got up and I walked out of the church. And I really, if I could have got my family together, I might have loaded up right then and just headed home. But it was such a stench in my nostrils to see the mockery, But see, people get in there and say, oh man, it was such a powerful anointing. Oh man, Brother Robert was so beautiful. But there's a form of godliness. They do the things that these other great men of God did. They said there'd be times they had to hold Brother Branham up he'd get in, when he's working in the gifts. I could say I've had those experiences myself where it just took the life out of me so bad. I mean, I was just so weak. So I know what the anointing of God is, but I know what the imitation is. There's these video clips you could watch where they go to church, they say they're drunk in the spirit, falling down and laughing and knocking stuff over. There ain't no God there, brethren. There ain't no God. A minister under the power of God, he might stumble. You know, he might have troubles keeping his composure, his balance. But it ain't going to turn into a laughing mockery, falling down and everybody rolling on the floor like natural drunks. I've seen drunk in the spirit on many occasions over the years. Had it happen to me numerous times. But never to the point of going into ignorance and foolishness. I told you I had to have men drive me home before. I never even heard the expression at that time. You know, it scared me, to be quite honest. Think, man, what's happened to me? Because I know, you know, I didn't even wake my wife up. I told her that. Because it wasn't too many weeks before that I did come home in that kind of condition. I could hear, I thought you was going to church. I did. Honest. Man, you should have seen that communion wine. It was strong. And that's a truthful statement. It was, most definitely. I've seen a lot of it, the counterfeit. I've seen them go out under the power of God, and I've gone out under the power of God. And I've seen a lot of them flop on the floor under the power of the flesh, power of recognition, wanted to be accepted, wanted to be seen. I've been in Benny Hinn's meetings where he waved his arm, and 200-300 people fall over the chairs, knocking the chairs down for the first 30 feet in his meeting. I was probably sitting about as far from him as Emmanuel, where I was standing, and he went, and I looked around, and a sea of people fall over on the floor, falling over chairs on that side, and I look over on this side, and a sea of the people falling over on that side, and I had one person standing with me, my wife. Boy, Brother Rob, you just wasn't in the spirit.
Thank you.
You say, Brother Rob, all them people couldn't be deceived. See, that shows that you're not listening to me. So I just got done telling you the whole world follows after the Antichrist. And the whole world is deceived. So I go to a meeting and 150, 200, maybe 300 people fall down on the floor. Me and my wife are the only ones standing there. I just left a meeting previous to that. And I actually left that meeting and I drove probably about 1,500 miles to go to that meeting. Because these brethren are telling me how great this is. I thought there was something wrong with me. I said, God, if this is the way you work and this is what you're doing, why don't I feel this? You talk to me, you speak to me, you lead me, you show me things. But if this is you, why am I don't feel like part of this? I felt so terrible bad until I moved to a place called Bethlehem. When I got there, finally, my spirit was saying, well, this is what you've been looking for. As I was getting my head taken off and beat and whipped beyond recognition, I found out what being crucified was. Really. Reality. I found out what the real reality of it was. But he said, this is what you were looking for. My spirit was finally satisfied. It was a long search, brethren. It was a long search. When a man told me about the place, he said, yeah, there's a cult over in Monroe, Georgia, and the Spirit of the Lord leaped in me. Really? That's why I'm here. Because I'd already made up my mind that the airplane I was looking at for these people, that I wasn't going to be part of it. I had no peace with them people. But I thought, well, I got to do something. I got to have a vision, so at least I'll help them get an airplane ready and this and that. They wanted me to go and preach and go with them to Romania when the Iron Curtain came down. I know you heard the story. I'm still closing. But I didn't feel part of that. And I come to a place, never heard a man preach the gospel. He rebuked me in the first 15 minutes I'd met him. Didn't openly rebuke me, but he put a picture, I told you, in my face, probably in the first 5 minutes. And here's my spirit saying, this is what you're looking for. The flesh had its foot turned this way saying, run. And the spirit man was cleaving, saying, don't leave. I'm telling you the truth. And I raised my hand to God. I'm sitting there, man. My spirit, man, was so hungry, man. And this is what he's been in search for, going from state to state to state and meeting to meeting, church to church to church. And then it got there, and man, it was like, grab on and hang on, don't let loose. And my dad goes, come on, son, let's go. And I look at him. Good thing he was with me. I might not have went back to California. You know, sent a note to my wife and him, hey, y'all want to come over here? She would have done it. But my dad said, come on, son, let's go. And I stood up and I was literally doing everything physically capable in my body not to break down and start weeping. I mean, my spirit, man, I mean, I just wanted to bawl. And I get in the car and my dad said, I'm coming back here. Why? Man, we're going to be preaching to thousands, man. We're going to get to, you know, do this, man. You know, you're going to get to use your skill as a pilot and an aircraft mechanic. And they're going to cover all the expenses. We're going to be staying in Switzerland. Everything sounded good. Come on, Bell, get on board with me. It was exactly the same thing. The church is offering me all this stuff. Hey, man, you can go over here and you're going to be staying. There was a movie come on in the 60s. Something not the House of Prayer, the House of Song, or House of Music, maybe? Sound of Music. Sound of Music. Well, they filmed that in a castle in Switzerland. And this has been bought out by a ministry. And this is where we're going to be staying. Oh, wow, Belle. Sounds so good, Belle. You know? Man, it sounds good. So I'm going to be flying an airplane. They done had me tattooed in these magazines, you know, with my testimony. Here's the pilot that gave his life to the Lord, an aircraft mechanic. He's going to use his abilities and services, get this airplane ready as they're taking up an offering to get the airplane ready. And using me for a fish bait. Brother Rob Coons, man, searching for some money out there. Come on, man. But I didn't have peace when I got to Brother George. I told him that. I said, you know what? I said, I don't feel right about this. I said, there's something wrong, but here I am. I told my dad when we were getting in a car, and I'm telling you this for a reason. We looked at about three airplanes. We didn't have an airplane at the time to fly one of our own at this time, so we was going to go commercial, and said, we just drove. So we was going to stop at all these different stops. I said, hey, let's just drive. And I was kind of looking for it as a vacation, too, just to get away a little bit. I told Brother Tab that to me, getting in a tractor trailer, making a run out to California and back and deliver a load be a vacation. Sometimes you're like, just driving, you know. That's a vacation to me. Amen. Sometimes we travail to bring souls into the kingdom. You know, so they get on the road, it might give you a little relief. I don't want relief of the travail. I want to keep on travailing. But I'm just saying sometimes this guy needs a rest. That would be a break to me, I guess what I'm trying to say. But I told my dad, I said, Dan, I don't know, maybe we buy this airplane and fix it and sell. Sounds like a good price. But I said, I don't know why I'm going because I don't feel like I'm going to help. I told him before when I said, I'm not sure if I'm going to help these people. They're not paying me to go look at this thing. I'm taking my own expenses and stuff. But I said, let's go. I felt I needed to, but I didn't know why. So I get there and that man says, I asked, who owned this airplane? He said, a cult down here. They traded it for the jet airplane they had. So a man up in New Jersey, I think, owned it. But he said it was owned by a cult down here is what he said. And when he said that, I'm telling you, something leaped inside. I drove 3,000 miles thinking, why am I going here? And when that man said it was owned by a cult over there, the spirit leaped inside me. And I'm thinking, okay, that's why you're here. So now I'm in the thoughts like, maybe God's going to send me over there to get somebody out of a cult. I really thought that way. I did not know why. And then I go over there and they got me out of the cult. Come on now. You understand how man thinks? That's why we got to be sensitive to the leading of the Lord. I followed him, but not know why. You'll question, well, God, why are you sending me over there? God, this is going to cost me $500. God, this is going to cost me $1,000. God, I've got other things to do. But somewhere we need to yield and shut our mouth and say, here I am, Lord. I don't know what you're doing. What was the old man's name from Wales? Brother Arthur. Yeah, Brother Arthur Burt. He said he's there in his home in Wales, and the Lord spoke to him, said, I want you to go get on an airplane, and I want you to fly. I think it was either Los Angeles or San Francisco. He said, I want you to fly there. And he said, okay, why? And he said, just do what I said. I said, okay. He got an airplane, and he flew there. He didn't know why he was there. Had no idea. So he said, you know, what do I do? So he gets his baggage, and he goes over, and he sits down on a chair in the airport. And he said, okay, Lord, I'm here. And he said, just wait. And he's sitting there. And he said he sat there for quite a while. And he said, here comes a man coming down the escalator. And he's watching this man. The Lord said, that's why you're here. And he goes, okay. So he watched the man. The man went over and sat down. So he walked over and sat down by the man. I want to be that kind of minister. It'll spend thousands of dollars, John. Not to get in front of people. Not to get up and look at me. I'm a preacher. To have enough sensitivity to God that I'd spend thousands of dollars to fly across the ocean and wait for the word of God and speak to one man. And when he got done speaking to that one man, he said, okay, you can go home now. See, that's a man of God right there. That's a man that didn't have to get the full book laid out to him. Well, you're going to go over there and they're going to have this for you and they're going to feed you. They're going to take care of you. They're going to clothe you. They're going to do this for you, do that. Oh, everything's going to work out for your little fleshly self. Somewhere you need to be spent. Somewhere you're going to have to know that you are following the Lord. And as I said a moment ago, he's had me do things that weren't his will. See, you'll never get a hold of that. But you know why he would do that? Because I've got so ritualistic in some of my doings, he wanted to make sure I was being spiritually and following him. And the things that I did that was against his will wasn't sin, brother. And I'm not talking about that. But he would tell me to do something, I'd think like, wow, that don't seem like your mind. He wanted to make sure that I'm not reasoning with him in my mind against his mind. So I would do it. And then he'd say, okay, I wanted to make sure you were listening to me. I told you I was driving down the road going 70 mile an hour in a 55. And the Lord spoke to me as clear as I'm talking to you. He said, there's a policeman right over the hill with a radar. You need to slow it down. And I did. I slowed her down. I came over the hill and there was a police car there. I really wanted to do a little Pentecostal two-step, man. I honestly did, man. I think, woohoo, man, I heard from heaven. Glory be to Jesus. Overconfident jerk here. So I slowed her down, went by and seen the policeman. He seen some pearlies. Hey, guy. Went over the next hill and went back up 70. Guess what? My arrogance and my overconfidence and my haughtiness, Brother Melvin, there was another policeman over the next hill. And guess what? I got a ticket for going 70 and a 55. And I had to pay for it. You see why? Because my God loves me. And he's saying you need to hear the end of the matter. You need to keep on listening a little bit. But sometimes we hear a little here and a little there, and boy, we're satisfied. Well, bless God, I've done this exploit. I've done this and done this. What are we doing today? Praise God, I got born again back in 1933. I got born again in 1971. I got born again in 1985. Well, you know, let's get born again today. You say, well, you can only be born once. I do understand that. But in your mind, you can only die once, can't you? Huh? But then yet the Bible teaches me to die every single day. Every day I'm supposed to be mortified. So I tell you, if you're going to preach that doctrine, you better preach every day. You better be resurrected. That's where I preach it. And I'm going to put more emphasis on you coming alive today than you dying today. Because a lot of times you got the death part and you walk around, oh yeah, I'm denying myself. Yeah, I'm doing this and you're all polished. But where's the life in all that? If you're a holiness man or a holiness woman, and boy, you've got all the T's and all the I's, why? Why? You got to be doing something as an exploit for the kingdom of God. You got to be spending yourself for something for the glory of God. Or what is your life worth? Brother Pike made a statement. He said, you're going to be spent. You're going to be spent for your flesh, for your world, for your trophies, for your desires, for your name. Amen. What's it for? You know, give honor to who honor's due. You hear me mentioning Brother Pike's name? I'm honoring that man when I say that. I'm honoring him because he's my pastor. He was my pastor and he taught me a lot of things. Scolded me, chastened me, reproved me, rebuked me, exhorted me, edified me, encouraged me, helped me. He was a man of God. He was a genuine pastor. Amen. Brother Arthur had his problems. He wasn't in our doctrines to the same way that we are, but man loved the Lord. One of his books, some of you read him, in his very early years of the ministry, failed, went into an adulterous relationship. Our doctrine said he would have been removed. Should have been. But after many, many years, He had enough humility to speak about his failures and talk about them things and exhort other ministers. Hey, be careful. Watch out. Got to be careful. Brother McKinney's back over there. I guess after his grandfather died, he took that work up over there. Is that correct, Brother John? I heard he's taking that work up over there. May be true, maybe not be. Say he might turn into be a powerful man of God. He very well may be. But still, if he is, that was where me and him crossed up. Because before he went into sexual perversion, me and him crossed up on it. He said, I'm not in agreement with you and Brother George on a man not being restored to the ministry if he fails in that. He knew what he was going to do. He wanted to make sure it was okay. And I explained to him. I took time to explain it to him why. He still didn't believe it. Still didn't receive it. And that's why he's in the ministry today. But I'm going to stand with it. I'm going to stick with it. And I'm going to stay with it. And Brother Pike taught it. He explained it. And I understand it perfectly well. That when you have done those things, of once you've tasted of the world to come and been enlightened, and you've been numbered with it and partakers with it, and then you go back, there remaineth no more sacrifice for that sin. You have one thing to look forward to, the fiery indignation of God. I understand that. To the unbeliever, it's hell, cast in the lake of fire. But if you happen to be God's elect and you failed him, you're going to bring the chastening of the Lord on your head. He's going to purge you as of by fire. And the thing is, as he spoke about Jimmy Swaggart, he said that man got up there in the lights and the whole world looking at him. He said he could find repentance with God, but he said he'd be removed from the ministry. And he said that man needed to find a back pew and he needed to lay on his face before Lord God, pleading with God to have mercy on him. Amen. I could name a handful of ministers that you and I know that need to do the very same exact thing. They just need to fall on their face and plead with God to have mercy on their soul. When they mocked the exhortation from men of God, mocked them and laughed in their face, and they'd get reproved and rebuked in meetings just like this and go out the door, kick up their heels, and just as that. And sometimes there's a bigger price than what they'd ever dream to pay for their foolishness. Some could think you're speaking about Brother Steve. I wished I was just talking about him. But he's a classic example that some of you know. He's why Brother Melvin's sitting here. He's why Brother Jeff's here. And you say, well, Brother Rob, if he'd done what you're teaching and what Brother George said, he couldn't even minister to it. See, that's where you're wrong. I never said that. You can't stop a man from sharing the love of God and the gospel of people, but he can't take a place as a leadership in the fivefold ministry. Absolutely impossible in the Word of God if you just get in the Word. See, sometimes we like the Word as long as it don't apply to me or what we believe or what we want to think. And there's people that they've got callings in their life and they can bring forth the fruit of the calling, but that doesn't mean they're chosen. Immorality will remove the choosing. Because when you go into sexual immorality and then you're restored back into the ministry, you're telling every brother and sister in that church, hey, if you get caught in your sexual lust and your pleasures, it's okay. We'll forgive you. Just keep on getting it. People need to know they'll go to hell. And people need to know there's consequences for sexual immorality. And the consequences to a minister, even if he's gifted and how good he is, the consequences for a brother are you're going to be put down and set down. Oh, it hurts the ministry. There's men that got some powerful anointings that could be a great work, but because of the lust of their flesh, they've been set down. Let me tell you something. I knew some pilots, Brother John, that were absolutely ace pilots. They were absolutely the best pilots that you ever rode with. And they exercised the skills and built up a pilot better than anybody that you had ever rode with or been in an airplane with. But they were alcoholics, brother. And they were drunks. And they would be removed. If you go into an airline and they find you with a little bit of whiskey in your coffee jug while you're getting on that airplane, they're going to remove you for a good reason. You see, that's just simple common sense, right? When you get yourself on liquor to calm those demons in you for you're not shaken, then that means there's some other things being slowed down in there too. And sometimes it's your calculations and things like that. Under ideal situation, you can fly an airplane stoned or high. But boy, there might be a time that you need to think that fast and your senses have been altered a little bit. When a man goes into sexual immorality, his senses have been altered and he doesn't have the ability to lead people. As I say, the airplane guy could fly the airplane, demonstrate. I know men that could preach, hold your attention, and that would be very good and skilled and be a lot better orator than I am. I'm not here because I'm an orator. I'm here because I'm called. I'm not here to show you how much Bible retention or how much I know. I'm here to take whatever God allows me to know that is applicable to you today and apply it. I could talk about a lot of things today. Go into a lot of things that I'm maybe more skilled in or doctrine-wise, but I'm here to make a presentation to people that are guilty just like the children of Israel. I'm making a presentation because the Antichrist got the whole world following after him through the shrewdness of deception. He's the master of deception. I preached a message 2 or 3, 4 years ago, and I remember saying this. I remember saying, you know, these people are so deceived, they'll go tie a bomb to themselves and blow themselves up for their God and take a life. That's pretty deceived, isn't it? But what if your God asked you to do something like that? Would you be willing? You say, well, my God would never do that. See, that's where you're wrong. You're overconfident. My God asked me to take my life every day and to lay it down for he could live every single day. Well, that's different, Brother Rob. If you really understand what real crucifixion was, no, if you would, you need to understand what crucifixion is. You see, a man that gets killed on a cross, Brother John, it's a momentary suffering. Momentary suffering, he's going to suffer for a few minutes and then he's out of the suffering. But the cross that the Lord has put you and I on is a daily cross. And it's an every single day cross. And the same reason that he was on a cross was for people's lives. We got to get on the cross. But when you're so selective about your little snowflake feelings and about what's good for you and yours alone and your little families, you ain't on no cross. We got to get on the cross. Amen. Put your wife on the cross with you. Come on now, saints. We got to get on the cross. And if you remember when Jesus was on the cross, there was a man that would have been numbered with the adversaries, the enemy. And he looked up at that man and he wasn't cursing while he was there. He wasn't spewing like the rest of them. And he said, this man must really be who he is. See, I'm a Christian, brother. Let me tell you something. I've read every book of Brother George Leon Pike and everything William Branham wrote. And I've read every one of their books and I've listened to every one of them. Cock-a-doodle-doo. I know a lot of people on the way to hell that done the same thing. That don't qualify you. I can get you a book this thick about aviation and flying. You could read that book and tell me, hey, Brother Rob, I'm an aviator. And I said, well, let's go flying. You might have done all that, but let's go soul winning. Let's go mortify. Let's go resurrect. Now we're talking about facts. We're talking about strength. I like the old saying, put your money where your mouth's at. Did I say that right? Is that the way they say it? You see, we have another door. We have another door open to the kingdom. And we chose the door because we like the door. We chose the tree of knowledge. We go and grab all the knowledge. One goes to Bible school, you grabbed it another way. Let me tell you, I've done a lot of studies in my bedroom, brethren, to make the grade on whatever. I don't care if you want to talk about truck driving or flying airplanes, aircraft mechanic license. And I know how to apply myself. I could lock myself in a room and I could study the information to get what I got to do to proceed on and whatever I got to do it for. You see, and you could do the same thing, for you could call yourself the elect of God, a Christian of God, and you could do all those studies, be the worst thing you ever done. What you're sitting there esteeming yourself to be somebody's the very thing of putting you in hell. Because God isn't looking for an intellectual capabilities to make you into a kingdom. He's looking for his spirit. That's all he's looking for. You got to be one with him, and you got to receive his spirit. And you know, an ignorant man could receive the spirit of God, and it'll bring him out of ignorance. A foolish man could receive it and it'll bring him out of foolish. Come on now. It'll bring him out and save his soul. So we've got a counterfeit of everything that the church has got, the real elect. We've got something to justify us as we're the elect, we're the true elect. Every church has got that same mind, Brother Jonathan. Every single church has got that same thing. Well, I know I'm the elect because this. I got baptized in Jesus' name. I believe in the gifts of God. We dress like holiness people. We don't strip off and we don't do this. I know I'm it. I know I'm the elect of God. Those are things the elect do, but those aren't the things that make you elect. That's where we get mixed up. We do these things, then it becomes will worship instead of spiritual sacrifice. And I'll tell you, when you get in the spirit on it, it's no longer a sacrifice. The Bible said the commandments of God are not grievous to us. When it's a sacrifice to you to follow the Lord, and it's grievous to you to be obedient to His word and His will, then you got you a problem. That means you're not the elect of God, and you've never been filled with the Spirit of God. Because I'm going to tell you something, to you it's not a problem. Because we're not here for our fame and popularity or our pleasures. We're here for another reason, to win souls. Well, we got to have a little good time once in a while. I had a good time yesterday. Well, that's because it was working on your house. See, there you go again. You're wrong. It ain't my house. I've told every one of you, and I will. I have a notion, because I'm fighting with stinking devils like this, that I'm going to sign that thing over and give it to you, church, and you all rent it to somebody, and I'll live in my motorhome, and I'll be so thankful for that. I am so thankful for that. But if some kind of spirit's going to put you in hell, I'm not doing this thing for myself. And I'm looking. Brother George, when we went and fixed his house, he tried to give it to Brother Atlee when they got his house fixed. But who in here did I compel and press like when building a church? I pressed everyone on building this church. I said, Brother Manny, don't leave the house the Lord laid waste. Let's get the church done. Did I do that to one person building that house over there? I went and borrowed the finances to do it, for I wouldn't have that devil fighting me. That's why I done it that way. You know, but they're still going to do it, so it don't matter what you do. But I'll be glad when that thing is turned over to somebody. Amen. My wife deserves that house. I don't. Nor desire it. I live in one little chair over there in the corner and a refrigerator about 50 feet away. Man, the rest of it's take care of itself. Amen. I thank God I have a place where I could help others and give people a place. I'm thankful to have Brother Chuck there with me. He labors and he's in this word. He's been doing this, and it's an honor for me to have a place that I could have a place that he could be with me and I could be with him. That's his house. He's got as much control of that place as I do. He's got as much control. He's the one who signed y'all's ordination papers on the thing, and he could take and sign this church over. Something happened to me. He's got full authority in any aspect of this ministry to put a man in or put a man out. And you said you give him that kind of authority? Absolutely not. Then why does he have it? Talk to the Lord about it. That's all I can tell you. Talk to the Lord about it. I'm not got a place here as some kind of thing in honor of me. I hope it could be in honor of some labors of the Lord in me. But I'm not looking for landscaping or for equity. I'm looking for landscape. Man, do you guys see the stripes on them yards out there? Woo-hoo. He's doing a good job, ain't he? After he gets done driving by in his truck, man, I say, yeah, man, that's good. You should be proud. It's for the Lord. He should be able to do that. Man, bouncing over that thing one time's enough. He goes over twice because he wants to make the stripes look pretty. I'm going to buy him a kidney belt. My lap would probably really, truly need one out there. I used to wear them race motorcycles. Why not do it to race across the church grounds? Do you love the Lord? Wow, it's 1 o'clock. It was 12 when I looked down a minute ago. And I was really closing at 12 o'clock. Let's stand up. I'm sorry. Didn't mean to keep you so long. I love y'all. I'll tell you what, this kind of thinking, you know, you say, well, Brother Rob, you're kind of strong in your reproofs. But you know what? That makes you strong. Amen? I love you, brother. And I'd love to see men that are tried as of by fire, that are willing to endure and stand strong. This make men. I don't know the armies. I'm not going to call our army today. Maybe the guys that fought in World War II might call some of the soldiers today snowflakes. I wouldn't want to insult nobody like that, John. But I'll tell you what, when you go and join up in the army of a natural man, you got some guy in your face, Brother Melvin, nose to nose. Brother Ed's been there. And you know, he's going, hi, young man. You think you could do me a favor today? I would like for you to do me 15 jumping jacks, sir. It ain't that way. Soldier! I called my grandson. We was down there right when he got out of boot camp. I said, Gabe. He was a little ways from me. There was a bunch of people around. We're all visiting. I said, Gabe. And I went, Griffin. Boy, he spun around. Boy, you see, that's what Army does. Now, shouldn't God's Army be the same way, brother?
Sure.
Amen. You're not here because you were drafted. Well, maybe you was. God said he sought you out. But you sought to be part of the Army of God. Submit, subject, press, give your life. And let me tell you something, the ones that are looking for R&R, they're going to wish they never was looking for that, brother, when they're in hell. But I'll tell you what, brother, you keep on pushing in for the things of God and stuff, and I'll tell you what, we've got all of eternity, man, to be in the eternal rest with the Lord. Amen. While the ones that sought it on this side will be in for eternal torment. So, don't seek your own, seek His. I'm telling you, you that want nice homes, you that want nice cars, seek those things. They'll always stay right out of your reach. Or you might gain them, but then they'll be the things that testify against you. But you seek after the things of God. You seek after the Lord things. I appreciate you, brethren. I love you all, and I thank you for your coming out this morning. And thank you for listening. I didn't do this message much of a good, but I do want to know that the same demon spirits that caused the children of God through the Old Testament to fail, the same demons are here. Same ones. Same masters of deception. Same tactics. Same shrewd tactics. But you got to get out of the mindset of adultery is not you with another woman. Adultery is you friendship in the world and the pleasures thereof. That's adultery. Okay? Murder isn't you taking a gun or a knife and slicing the throat. You could stand before the Lord as a murderer. What's the Bible say? Reka to your brother. Whatever said, you're numbered as a murderer. Adultery said, looking upon a woman. See, brought it out of it in a different realm, a different thing. He said, we walk by faith, not by sight. So you're looking, well, I'm a pretty good person. I ain't killing nobody. I ain't robbing nobody. I'm faithful to my wife. But you could be so ungodly in another realm. And you've polished yourself. The Jews were polished people, brethren. They met every ritualistic and they done every requirement and everything. But look, they crucified God. We see their failures all the way through the whole Old Testament. The failure after failure after failure. So here we are now. Well, we're the true elect. We're the ones he was really looking for. And we're doing the same thing. The same thing, brethren. We're doing the same thing. We get just as polished as them. Man, praise God. Won't that preacher tell me nothing? I know who I am. Man, I'm the elect of God, brother. My name's put in the book of life and I can't sin, man. I don't care what Brother Rob says. Be careful. I preach that doctrine too, brethren, but I tell you what, be careful. I love you. Let's sing a song or two and we'll close the service. Amen. You see, brethren, I can speak to you in such the greatest way and encourage you and thank you for your labors, your exploits, your love, your sincerity, and I do that. And that's what I want to do, brethren. But at the same breath, there's another guy laying in the members of that house, and I got to keep a sword on him. I got to keep on whittling him down, and knocking him down, knocking him down. Amen, that you could stand before the Lord pure, holy, clean, and godly. Amen. Until I came to that revelation sitting under Brother George Pike, that when I went to church and I heard that sword come out, I say, thank you, preacher. Let me get rid of this old nature of Brother Rob Coons. Let me get rid of that guy. And then I'd hear the words of life, of strength and power, you know, of being hid away in Christ and being God's touch me not and being, you know, the apple of his eye. I could receive that too. Amen. And I speak to you that way. I love you. I think you're the greatest people ever. But at the same time, remember the shrewdness of the devil. If Brother Jeff stood here before me and he had a soldier suit on with ribbons hanging all the way down here of accomplishments of the war. And man, this is where, you know, I was in Vietnam. You know, this one over here where I was in Korea. This one over here in World War II. This one over here. And just badge after badge after badge. You know what? And I say, here's a seasoned veteran of the Lord. Fought the battles. Got the medals and the honor for showing so. The message wouldn't change. Because he knows that he can't let down his guard thinking about his success yesterday And then standing before the adversary today that'll take his head off and kill him. Amen. So we got to remember that this is a continual stirring up that pure mind in you. Continual pressing in. Don't relax. Oh, but Brother Rob, I came in to rest. No, your rest isn't God's rest. That's not the rest I'm talking about. Oh, but man, this is nice. Everything's... No, that's not the rest of the Lord, man. That'll bring the torment of the Lord. Amen. Y'all love the Lord?
Amen.
Thank y'all for coming out. Appreciate the labors and things. And had a wonderful day yesterday, just fellowshipping with the brethren and working, accomplishing a few things around the work of the Lord. Again, remember the brethren, incarcerated brethren. Don't forget these guys. And they love y'all and appreciate you. I get so many letters of them writing and showing their appreciation towards this church. They feel like they've been rejected and cut off. Yes, it's by their own foolishness, but still, there's a way to that. Some of you that if you ever even lean to those kind of thinking, if you would think about how you felt, how when you felt God, maybe you weren't incarcerated, but you felt the Lord. Yeah, you may have found repentance from Him, but sometimes you don't find repentance from the people. And when the people give it to you, you know how it feels. Amen. I like to represent the things of God, His mind and His word. Brother Melvin made a testimony to me the other day. He said, you know, Brother Rob, I got to looking around your church. He said, I'm the only black man in there. And he said, but you know, I never felt that from nobody. Somebody, let's give Christian Temple a hand. Amen. Amen. But you guys bear with him. He thinks he's a black man. No, bear with him. We'll get him that revelation here soon.
Amen.
Amen. I know what being a black man is, Brother Melvin, and that you aren't. Because I know what black man is. I was a black man. You understand that? I was born in blackness and shapen in blackness and molded in that iniquity. Amen. And when a man gets born again and filled with the Holy Ghost, amen, he is not a black man. Amen. It's a pleasure to have Brother Melvin here with us. A real great blessing to the brotherhood.
Amen.
So remember these other brethren. There's several looking in this direction that's wanting to be here. We'll deal with the complications that the legalities that man is putting upon them and things. And got some things working. Brother Emmanuel's working with Brother Melvin right now on some things that look like it'll benefit some of these other men coming out. Brother Manny said, well, you know, Brother Rob, I really don't want to build a business. I don't either. I have no intentions of building a business, but we're building a ministry. And when you give your businesses to the Lord as a ministry, some people questioned Andy one time not too long back, and they questioned about this and that, and he said, hey, this is a ministry. Amen. And it brings some hardships sometimes and some complications. And I'm thankful for guys getting under the load and under the burden of that to try to help men and do such things. Thank you all for being here this morning. I love you and appreciate you. Let's go ahead and just close in prayer. Let's bow our heads together. Amen. Father, I thank you.
We hope this message has enlightened and encouraged you. If you would like to receive other messages and teachings from Brother Rob, please feel free to contact us. Our web address is christiantempleonline.org. Or you may write us at Christian Temple, 3844 Mount Gilead Church Road, Sophie, North Carolina, 27350. We, the brothers and sisters of Christian Temple, would like to invite you to come worship with us. Our services are at 10 a.m. on Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday and Friday nights. We are located at 3842 Mount Gilead Church Road, Sophie, North Carolina, 27350. For directions, go to christiantempleonline.org/map. Thank you again for listening, and may God richly bless you.